FM, 106.7 WJFK, Manassas, Washington, D.C. This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once per 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hooray. I'm done with my effing taxes.
Yay. Congratulations.
F you, Uncle Sam. And Mike?
Yes.
This is for you.
All right.
Two men side by side. Now that's
Not too annoying, is it? Going with this song. Paul Schaefer from the Letterman Show.
It's a party without the beer.
Okay, where's the dumb part about us? Here we go.
Driving home with Dawn and Mike. We make my day more bright.
Thank you, Paul.
No matter if my wife's at home.
Wow. You got to know that's the sound we've been searching for.
Yes.
Now, we're all friends. I'm talking about us here in the room now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're all men.
Right.
Go ahead, Rob.
I'm not a friend.
Well, you weren't in the room.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's very true.
Okay. So, we're all friends.
Yes.
Sometimes, during the news, when Buzz says something and there is an awkward silence, you know what I mean? When you're like doing your neck stepping,
uh-huh.
or when you're making your point, and when we've really gotten on your nerves, and it doesn't happen as often as it used to.
True.
But there are a lot of times that we know that we're pissing you off.
Oh, no.
And, well, no, come on.
Well, I'll listen to what you have to say.
And you fight back. And good for you. That's what we encourage you to do, uh-huh. is to just, no matter what we're doing.
Right.
Push ahead.
Forge ahead.
And get the story in.
Right.
And sometimes when we get done with these little mini skirmishes that we have during the news, and skirmishes is too harsh a word.
I believe so, yeah.
You know, whatever it is that we're doing, uh-huh. there's like just a beat of silence.
I love tiff.
Yeah, we're having a tiff.
A tiff. A tiff would be
even that's too a little strong. Yeah, I mean, it's...
Brannigan?
Brannigan.
Anyway, there's a sound that Paul Schaefer makes.
Uh-huh.
When Letterman tells a joke, uh-huh. that's, and again, this is not about your content,
right?
But it's a sound we've been looking for.
Mm-hmm.
When Letterman tells a joke that just kind of does the old brrr,
right? Yeah.
Schaefer goes really heavy on that.
Fake laugh.
And Mike has kind of worked it into the news a little bit, mm-hmm. but we've never had the opportunity where there's been one of those really mm-hmm. the behind the scenes that no one would notice awkward moments where we all get done and we look at you like, hey, that's right, we're talking, and you look at us like, yeah, but that's right, I got the news in. Mm-hmm. During that one microsecond,
uh-huh.
it would be perfect. I've said this to Rob, that I've taken the headset off and said, that would have been a perfect spot to have the So, like, for 3 weeks,
uh-huh.
we've been taping Letterman.
Right.
Because I said,
waiting, he
does it every night. I said, you can't watch Letterman and not see Paul mm-hmm. Schaefer do this.
He always covers an awkward moment with it.
Well, it's been 3 weeks of Letterman shows, including reruns.
Right.
And finally, we got it. So now, Buzz,
yes.
at some point uh-huh. during an upcoming news...
Right. Something for you to look forward to.
Oh, yes. Certainly not today.
Uh-huh.
We won't throw this on you today.
Uh-huh. Maybe not.
Wait until something really happens. When there's just... Or I know what it is.
What?
Or if it's... When you're making one of you... And you are quite good at this. At making your little turnaround jokes about, you know, when you're saying something...
Plays on words.
That's right. And you really mean something mm-hmm. else. That's probably where you're going to hear it the most.
Okay, well, I'll be interested to hear that.
You know, that's like when Buzz would go, and that's why George Bush is a genius.
See, that right there, that might work well.
See, that's where we've been looking for, because when you say something like that, everybody knows, of course, you don't mean that Bush is a genius.
And how do you respond to that, really, other than with that?
So there you go, Buzz.
Now the models are coming out.
Thank you for being on the show.
Bring on the models. look at that. Rupert G.
So we finally have the sound. And you know what? We won't run it into the ground too much. Not at all.
Okay, I really haven't noticed any awkward moments, but if one occurs...
Now, see, I shouldn't even have said that, because now you're going to be thinking that there are awkward moments.
But congratulations, Buzz. You have won a tray of meat. We're going to present you with a tray of meat.
No, your cuts of meat.
I thought I'd get the fanfare.
Oh,
there.
Oh.
Buzz, here's your
tray of meat.
Oh, thank you, ladies. Fresh meat.
And you know, we can feel that difference.
Yeah.
When we bring anybody in, like when we bring Jessica in,
it'll certainly come into play at other times besides during your news show.
Wonderful. Glad you finally got it.
But, we've been looking for it for a while.
3 weeks you were trolling.
And on
that.
The side, mm-hmm. and you noticed this as well, right. Mike would throw it in.
Oh, yeah.
Mike would
sure.
do that.
Sure. Very well.
So we finally, we got it.
We
yeah.
have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, in a way, it's part of the CBS family.
Yes, it is.
Like
stealing from your cousin.
Okay, there it is.
Don?
Yes, Mike.
I'd like to congratulate you on picking that sound effect and finally getting it in here. Got a little something for you that I decided to bring in right now. This is all for you, Don. It's a tray of peep.
Yeah. You're having your own little Letterman fantasy right now. You know, now you're like Buzz.
You're living in my world now.
I know. Thank you.
Two tickets to Trattoria Dell'Arte.
Okay. All right.
And you remember that because we ate there,
yeah,
and he gave away that on Letterman. And we ate there when we used to eat there good when we were in New York.
Mm-hmm. We used to eat there good.
We used to eat there lots of good.
Mm-hmm. So, hi, everybody. and this is it. This is the show. And the taxes are done. God damn, finally the taxes are done.
Tis the season.
What a pain in the ass.
I don't know if mine are done.
I had a wonderful argument with my son today. What, Rob? Listen, Mr. Martling.
Yeah.
What a Jackie the Joke Man right for you today.
When you've got a real piece of solid gold like this,
yeah.
And I know you love leaving your golden tickets all around the studio.
and
quite often,
what
Mike,
did he give you?
Mike is very adept at either taking away what you say and using it or tossing it.
Right. I will totally ignore but occasionally, Rob, you will still give one to me that I have to stop and do what Don's doing right now. I can't wait to hear what it is.
In the middle of talking about something totally different.
I wrote as fast as I could.
You know, and he comes up and he sticks it on the board right in front of me like, here you go. Okay, ready? Mm-hmm. Get ready. Turn on the funny button.
He will never sacrifice his content for the timing of the show.
No.
He won't. If it affects the actual line, he will not write anything down. He will take the time to write it the way he thinks it should be written.
So we've already moved on.
Right.
Talking about taxes, getting ready, trying to segue into something else here.
I can't wait now.
Fight with my kid. And he steps up and he goes, so here it is. Say, Mike.
Yeah, Don.
Yes, Don. With Easter approaching, here's a shout out to all my peeps.
You know something? That was a good line. That was really good. I congratulate you, Rob. I really congratulate you.
Oh, F you, Mike.
No, I want to give Rob a plate of meat.
Oh, look.
Rob, this is for you. That was...
Okay.
Another day of writing great comedy. I'm sorry.
Now we've got something that Mike likes running into the ground.
I thought, really, that fanfare and the Paul Shaver were two, you know, simultaneously going on. I didn't realize they were separate.
Absolutely. There it is, dry for you.
Any way you like.
Absolutely dry.
So you were saying that you had a fight with your son.
I don't know what I said.
Taxes are done.
Yes, I was.
Taxes are done, fight with the son.
That's it.
Tell you about that later.
Okay.
You know what we should actually start with, and dangerous to start with this because we've not actually opened the show. We've not even taken a phone call.
Yeah.
We've not done the laughing place or anything.
We're not open yet.
We have a lot of stuff. Hey, thank you, Buzz.
Yeah.
We're not open yet. That was good.
I haven't turned around the sign.
That was good. Yeah, we've got so much stuff we have to give away today. For instance, congratulations. You have won a pair of tickets to the sold-out Billy Joel concert. tomorrow at the Verizon Center in D.C.
Oh, it's the Verizon Center.
It used to be the MCI Center.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, they're sold out to Billy Joel. You know, so they tell me this is a big prize. We have a lot of big prizes to give away today. We have plus $100 tonight at the show. Tickets courtesy of Tickets Now, from baseball to Broadway. Tickets Now is the premium event ticket you're looking for. TicketsNow.com, the power of in.
If you Catholic girls started looking for those tickets, you're too late.
Too late.
Much too late.
I tell you, when I worked in Providence, when that song was out,
right.
Only the Good Die Young, the station was so goddamn uptight. It was a top 40 station.
Right.
WPRO, Pro FM, 92 Pro FM. And that was another thing about the station. I told you that. The rule was 92 Pro FM, and then whatever you said, and then you had to say 92 Pro FM again.
Legendary radio station in New England.
Catholic girl starred much too late. Well, they decided that the song was a hit, but they couldn't play that line because that one line,
the Catholic population in Providence,
was offensive. Now they didn't ask anybody, and as a matter of fact, the guy that was running the place is Gary Berkowitz.
Right.
So what he knows about the Catholic religion, it's beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
But still, so what's funny is you have a room full of Jews sitting in a room full of Jews. Sitting around this giant console,
right.
Way back in the 80s, in the late 70s, actually, before digital technology, actually trying to figure out what's the part of the song that really is not good. So they figure out that the part is Catholic girls start much too late. That's the part. So Berkowitz and the other guy are sitting there. They're trying to figure this out. And I'm walking in and out of the room.
Really the lyric of the entire song, if you ask me. I mean, really. I mean, you take that out, you've destroyed the song.
Yeah. And what they ended up doing was taking, I don't remember which one it is, they took some other line from some other part in the song.
And chopped it in there
and
moved it in its place.
Very awkwardly made an edit that we played on the air. And it was like, come on, come on, you're out too late. Whoa, yeah. I'm
right.
And it was like a train. You brought attention to the fact that you took a line out of the song.
Probably took it out because of those friends of ours up there that you had to deal with all the time.
Providence, Rhode Island, the great mafia city.
Yeah, a lot of very heavy Italian Catholic population.
I told you, when I got hired, that's like 1978.
Wow.
They said to me at the time, the salary for doing the show is, I think, like $125 a week.
Right.
I said, I was making like $250 a week at the time. I said, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
They said, no. You do personal appearances.
What is this?
I said, you do billboards. I'm like, what? I don't understand any of this.
Please explain.
So they flew me in, and as it turns out, this is the honest to God's truth, that they had to deal with the mobsters in Providence. And what you would do on your show, on your DJ show, at some point during the show, you would mention, for instance, I'll use your joint, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, hi, Pro FM, everybody. This is Don, and I've got some more music coming up. And, my billboard is going out to my good friends at O'Mara's in Manassas. Thank you for listening to 92 Pro FM. It's my personality billboard. And so what you had to do is you had to work this into your show a couple of times a week.
Right.
And then what you
do, each time you had one, is that what it was?
Yeah,
did you have your specific guy that you had to mention?
Yes, and what you did was, it was actually... it was like a rewards program, depending on how hard you wanted to work.
Right.
Uh-huh. That what you did was, and I remember what they did. They took me to this place right by the Providence Civic Center. Providence is just an S-hole of a town.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing but just concrete, gray concrete everywhere.
Right.
Impossible to pick one building out from the next.
Right.
But I remember they bring me downtown, and we go into this club, Numbnuts, whatever the club is. And some, like, Joe Pesci guy comes out. He's like, hey, how are you? You know, and Berkowitz is sitting there, and he says, this is our brand new disc jockey, Don Geronimo. He's fantastic. He's going to be doing the afternoon show. He's going to be doing your billboards. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be doing your billboard. And the guy gives me an envelope.
Mm-hmm.
And inside the envelope is $50.
Right, nice.
And then they say to me, as I'm leaving, I go, what was that? Berkowitz says, open the envelope. I open the envelope, it's $50. He says, you come down every 2 weeks, and they give you that envelope. See, you're really making $200. And $25 a week, not $125 a week, or whatever it was, you're really making an extra $100 a month. And he says, here's the good part. Once you get to know Vito, or whatever this guy's name was, and you meet some other people, the more of these that you get,
opportunity,
it's unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
You can do as many as you want. He says to me, Jimmy Delgado, who works on Pro AM, the guy that they had an AM station that was like News Talk, said, he's got 15 of them. So seriously,
right.
And what did I know? Like, this is 1978, so I am 20 years old.
Uh-huh.
Okay? I'm driving around in Providence during the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Based on recommendations that I've got from other disc jockeys. Like I said to Howard Hoffman, one of my friends, hey, do you know of any billboards? I really need some money coming up. He said, oh, you could go talk to this guy down at Ziggy's.
Right.
So it's like, I would go into a bar, and back then I wasn't a drinker. I would go into a bar, and I would, you know, imagine me, you're like wearing like a satin Bee Gees jacket, of course. That's the look that I was into. Going in, sitting down, I got my goddamn David Cassidy hair and my big, gigantic glasses.
Right.
And I'm just sitting down and going, Howard said that I should ask for somebody here. And a guy would come over and you would meet him, and if he liked you, and you said, hey, I do billboards for Numb Nuts. And he says, yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll listen to your show. Yeah, you're nice. Come on back next week.
Mm, bingo. And then you throw it in there and go back, right?
Yeah, and that's all you had to do. And it really, looking back on it, and I've talked about it with the guys that worked there, the mobsters, and I use that word loosely, these businessmen.
We don't know.
Right. I don't know what was being done, really, for them to give disc jockeys money.
Yeah.
Because I know
you didn't
that, for God's sakes, one or two mentions on a radio show was nothing. Right. But it was something that was condoned by the company.
Right.
Or at least condoned by local management.
It was obviously how they supplemented you guys and how they got talent to come into the radio station.
Yeah, right. I mean, I've
never heard of it before.
They had a staff full of disc jockeys, all of us making nobody more than $150 a week. But everybody was happy,
right,
and making lots of dough.
And if a guy like had a million of them, he could, he could do as many as he wanted.
You know, you would get your collection done.
How did the sales staff respond to that? Were they in the
loop at all?
No,
because you're really kind of getting in the way of their
going
their
around
stuff.
Them. Yeah,
I mean, you'd never see that happen on a radio station today. No.
I don't think that any of the, some of them may have been actual paying clients, but this was more, And again, I don't know what was going on.
We don't know why.
I didn't have to do anything. I naively thought it was bragging rights. You know, that these guys just wanted to hear the name of their business on the radio.
Right,
right.
You know, and then one night somebody said to me at some party or something, why do you think you get to read those, and you're making like an extra $150 a week? And I'm like, duh, Pollyanna. Well, because, this is a swell radio station. everybody likes All Hit Power 92.
It's a good spot.
I'm not really sure what was going on back then at 92 Pro FM.
Money laundering, probably.
And here's the other thing. FM, PRO FM, okay? There's an AM station, WPRO. Then there's the station I worked on, the FM station, the Top 40 station.
Right.
Berserkowitz, Gary Berserkowitz, the program director, the rad bastard, he was so convinced that people would not give credit in the ratings for listening to the FM station, that besides this insane rule of saying pro FM every other word, you had to say FM, PRO, FM.
So you make sure that the FM station got the credit.
Yeah, right? So you say that at the beginning of every sentence and at the end of every sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting down trying to talk to the guy saying, wait, you're giving me 15 seconds to talk, and it's going to take me 5 seconds to identify FM, PRO, FM, and he would say, yes, exactly.
Your
right.
problem.
And for him, that's a perfect break.
Yeah.
I think I've mentioned that before. He's one of those guys, FM, PRO, FM. Yeah, here's Kiss. FM, PRO, FM. You would get a call on the hotline, and he would say, that was great.
Control freak.
That was great. You didn't say anything and you sold the station.
Sure, it was him, not you.
Right.
But listen, the talk rules were all able to be violated if you were doing a personality billboard.
Really?
Sure.
Yes.
That's so cool.
And the station had like a jive little disco bed. And what would happen is
let's say hi to our personality billboard.
Yeah, you just go, hey, it's Tuesday night, and here you go, it's a meatloaf, it's 822. Hey, it's my personality billboard. Have you been down to O'Mara's in Manassas?
Now you would, and so would you just mention the business, or
that's
would you like
do.
Go on about?
No,
it?
No, wow. You just mention it.
That is hysterical.
And then,
it was all on your own. You could do it whenever you wanted.
But here's the thing: yes, you could, and you networked then with other guys. For instance. And I remember the guys' names. It was Big John Bina and Howard Hoffman. These guys controlled a lot of the personality billboards. For instance, with Howard Hoffman, who I lived with for a while when I was up there. Yeah, that's right. We were big
homo.
We were big faggots.
Brokeback disc jockey.
He had so many of these things that he actually said to me, I'll cut you in for 25% if you do my collections. If you go down to, like, these four or five bars that I can't make it down to.
Uh-huh.
So And I made side deals with him and side deals with Big John Bina.
Wow.
And eventually had so many that I had, like, I sublet some of mine out to,
wow,
to Giovanni and to Terry O'Brien.
Giovanni. You were a good earner.
I remember all these names. So it was
kind of like the Sopranos going around.
It was small potatoes, but yeah, we were all in on it. And at some point, really, you would get so, wow, many of them that it would be, here's the point.
Do you remember the best you ever did during a week?
I think like maybe $300.
Okay.
Because what you, for instance, when you said, how would you do it? You'd get on, you'd go, hey, Pro FM is Don, here's my personality billboards, blah, 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 O'Mara say. And don't forget, Howard Hoffman, who is on every night right after me. Howard's got some personality billboards as well. And if I would read his,
uh-huh,
then I would go down to his place. See, because the thing is, not only did you have to go pick up the money, it was his. What he would say to the guy,
uh-huh,
like Howard Hoffman, what he would say to the guy at the club is, I'm too busy to come pick up the money, but I love you, and you're my man, and I love you so much that there's another disc jockey now that you're going to love. He's going to mention you as much as I'm going to mention you, and he's going to pick up the money now, so you're only going to see me like three times a week, or three times a month, whatever it is. You know, it was only after I left there that somebody said to me, seriously, you ever wonder like what kind of drugs or black market guns or whatever was going through
these? Well, did you get any information that would have indicated to you?
It was just the only reason that people went to work at Pro FM. Pro FM had a reputation of being one of the top 40 stations in America.
Right. Well, I think it probably had something to do with it didn't have anything to do with music, right?
Yeah, because they had, really, even though the program director was a dick and hated for disc jockeys to talk, they would hire exceptional DJs.
Mm-hmm.
And the DJs would all come, and they would say, well, how could, you know, the station got the reputation of being a powerhouse, and people thinking, all these great disc jockeys go to work there, and the place sounds great. And nobody knew that everybody working there is making $125 a week.
That's clever. Who was the best? Who was the guy that made the most? Was it Howard Hoffman?
No, it was Giovanni.
Giovanni,
who I think actually might still be at Pro FM.
Wow.
You know, Rob?
Maybe still doing the billboards.
Why? You know what? I think I even know. Oh, God, I don't remember what the area code for Providence is. Why did you find the number for Pro FM?
In Providence, Rhode Island.
And see if Giovanni is there.
Well, I liked your example, the way you were doing it. So there you go. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, Mike's just giving you an envelope.
An envelope for Mike. With, look at that. Who is that?
It's time for your personality billboard.
That's the $20 president. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Truly, you know, you were using, you know, my joint as an example, and I appreciate
Thanks.
That.
Look around, Cafe. Really,
that's how you used to work back in the good old days.
Come back next week.
Well, if we can find this cat, if he's around the station, you know, because I think he's the one guy that still works there.
I even wondered if it was maybe some kind of coded message to somebody. I mean, the fact that you did the billboard was maybe a signal to somebody else to conduct some kind of business.
I remember when Berserkowitz flew me in for the interview, and after telling me about the money, said that, like, I was supposed to know what it is. Said, yeah, it's $125 a week, but really, you're going to make at least double that with your personality billboards.
So that's how he was able to keep an air staff for probably like a third of what an air staff would normally cost in a major market.
That's
absolutely
smart.
All right. God damn, we really should break here so that we're not screwed later in the show. And we didn't even talk about the contest thing with the Billy Joel thing.
Right.
I read that though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well then, here's what we're looking to do.
Congratulations.
We're looking to give away a pair of tickets to go see Billy Joel here in D.C. tomorrow night. Pro FM Giovanni. Does he still work there?
Yeah, John said he does morning, so he's probably not there now. He is there.
I'll tell you what, why don't you call? Hold on. I got too many things going on at once here. Too many things going on at once. The Billy Joel tickets.
Yes.
We already read the slug for that, right? So we're good to give those away? Okay. Just dial recklessly. We'll play a game later.
Okay.
Caller 100 right now.
Caller 100, we're going to give away the tickets?
Yeah, we'll play a game later for the other prize.
Ah.
So if you want to go to Billy Joel, you know, dial recklessly, you animals, right now at 877-365-3636.
This is a chance to see him. You never know when he's like going to wrap his, you know, car around a tree or something like that. So this is a good chance to go see him before he does that again.
I think he's like Cher. Mm-hmm. I think that he's one of these guys that's never going to go away. I just read that
I hear he still puts on a great show.
I just read that she's doing, like, another comeback.
No. She's doing Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. She's taking over for Celine Dion.
She said she wouldn't.
Yeah, well, she Buzz, here's a shock. Uh-huh. She's a woman, and she lied.
I don't know, Don.
Ain't that something? You got a kick in the pants? Okay, hold on. 1410. 4200. Same number.
Wow. Been there for a million years.
Same number. Now, let's see. Hi, Rob.
Hi.
Now, ask for Giovanni or Tony Bristol.
Okay.
I think those are two guys who might have worked there when I worked there.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Some guy named Vito.
Medical associate.
Sorry, you got the wrong number. What are you doing? You had the wrong number.
Oh, hey, Tony.
Yeah.
Tony Ortiz Gandolfini.
Yeah, what do you want? What you want?
You know, I've got a tape somewhere here. Let me find it. Of James Gandolfini talking about how he was surprised to get the role of Tony,
and he's being James.
No, but he really is. Listen how right on this is to the thing that you've been doing on our show for 5 years. Listen to this. Really, now listen.
I got the script, and I remember reading it, and I was laughing out loud. And I said, there's no way I will be able to do this. I mean, I've said that before. I really thought that they would pick someone, you know, different than I. Just a little more leading man type, basically. And actually, one of the auditions, halfway through or in the middle of it, I said, no. I'm not doing this right. I'm not doing this right. I didn't prepare for this right. I'm not doing it right. And I don't want to do it anymore. And I want to come back and do it for you again. And they said, oh, okay. And they let me leave and let me redo it and come back.
I'm not doing this right.
Just like the thing you do.
This is more of a leading man type of role. I did it before, and then I came back and I did it again.
Hey, what's the deal with 92 PRO?
Giovanni, he's a gone today already.
He's a gone?
He's a good boy. He's a down at the saloon.
What about the other boy?
Tony Bristol, I left him a message on his voicemail. I'll try again in a few minutes.
All right, well, if we get those guys, we get those guys.
No, Giovanni. I'm a sad clown.
Because, you know, maybe one of those guys that actually still works at the station could help explain the entire concept of the personality billboard.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've explained it well. I'd just like to know if anybody has any more insight into it maybe if there's something more to it.
Oh, here we go. Time for caller 100, and it's you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi there. What's your name? Any idea?
Yes, I do. It's Mike Prime.
Mike, where are you from?
Well, Fairfax.
Beautiful. So, D.C.?
Yep.
Okay, good. Congratulations for you. Two tickets to the sold-out Billy Joel concert tomorrow night at the Verizon Center in D.C. TicketsNow.com. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the show.
Thank you very much, Dynamite.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Hold on just a moment.
Indubitably.
A happy winner.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Possibly.
And don't forget, with Easter approaching, here's a shout-out to all my peeps.
That prepared comedy was brought to you by Spiewak Enterprises.
Thank you, Jackie.
That's still great.
All right, so we got a break, and we'll come back and actually start the show.
Good.
I do want to just kind of get this stuff about this fight I had with my kid today out of my system, because it's tax-related, and it's just one of those things. Anybody that has a child who's really no longer a child, he's a man boy now. Mm-hmm. He's a boy man. He's 21, and of course he thinks he knows everything everything,
right.
And today was the wrong day. He and I have a great relationship,
mm-hmm.
Wonderful, before Frida died, but even more so now.
Mm-hmm.
But today is the day, goddamn, he got a piece of me, like he's not gotten a piece of me since before he moved out of the house.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, and it had to do with taxes.
Little discipline, maybe?
Well, no, not really. It was just, I don't appreciate getting financial advice from a 21-year-old kid who is overdrawn 5 days out of seven. Okay, I'll start there,
right,
and then we'll kind of cycle our way through with American Idol, and also, we did put our new pictures, the ones we took yesterday of ourselves, on that website.
New results?
New results.
No doubles at all.
Oh, really? No doubles at all? That's awesome.
Huh. No doubles, and we will have the pictures up on our website after we announce it.
Okay.
Okay. Remember, it's MyHeritage.com, where we scanned our publicity photos.
Good.
Found out the celebrities we most resembled by percentage. And then we took candid snapshots in the studio yesterday,
mm-hmm.
so that they weren't like posed publicity pictures, and we have the celebrities that we most resemble again.
I did an experiment on MyHeritage, and I put in a headshot of Elvis Presley, who has got a fairly famous face.
Of course.
And it matched him.
with Roy Scheider and Elvis Presley.
Just Roy Scheider?
Roy Scheider and then Elvis Presley.
That's great.
77% match with himself.
So, a picture. That was a question somebody, I think, had yesterday. Yeah. Put in a picture of a celebrity to see who it says the celebrity mentioned. So was Elvis number one or number two?
It came in second.
That's funny. Elvis number two.
I bet that could happen with every celebrity.
I could imagine having a few beers and running a lot of pictures through.
Oh, absolutely.
It could happen.
So we'll start there. Buzz, the good news for you is that...
Did you run Kathleen Turner through and see if it spit out Buzz Burbank?
She is not on Buzz's list.
That's a relief.
But you do have...
A lot of women?
Just one.
Oh, just one.
Just one.
Did I get any women this time?
Nope. Neither did I. Neither did Rob. Let me see. Ardinger has... This is Ardinger here.
Ardinger.
He has two. Oh. And Johnny Norman, Yanni, our web guy and all-around good guy,
right,
has one.
One. One woman.
One. I'll tell you, I think right now... Probably the person, based on the picture that they have that came up when you did the thing, the person that won't be the most upset, probably be you, Mike.
Good, okay.
Probably
I'm looking forward to that.
Don't you think so?
Yeah, you know, I was
based
not,
on the picture.
Yeah, and I was not pleased.
Hmm.
For a variety of reasons.
Well, the first guy don't count. I told you, nobody's... Okay, here's Rob's first guy. I'll give you this.
Okay. Right.
I've never heard of him. Tony Chu?
Yeah, he is the leading Korean film star.
Tony Chiu. Tony Chu.
Wow. You can understand Rob's concern.
Great. But that was tied with a much better-known All-American movie star.
Okay. All right, very good.
They were both at...
So everybody today has different results.
Oh, yes, we do.
I like that.
Yes, we do. So we'll do that.
I'm looking forward to getting upset.
We'll start the... I don't think you get out of your mind upset.
You don't know me that well.
You just make a noise.
I might just really have a total meltdown.
He's so vain.
I walked into that party.
I'm just thinking, though, about the picture that they have. That's probably...
Now, when you say the picture, see, I haven't seen this website. So when you put our scan picture, then it shoots out the pictures of the celebrities?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can compare them.
The picture of the celebrity that they say you most resemble,
yeah,
it has been in a... here's your hint. Has been in a string of major... hit motion pictures.
That's huge.
Wow.
That's all I'll tell you.
Oh, that's great. Could be anybody.
Well, a string. I mean, you're talking about a series here. You're talking about,
Eddie Murphy?
Know, no, had a lot in a row, like, on the same topic. Like, Star Wars.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking of the Eddie Murphy series, you know, that he did. The Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes.
No. I mean, where it's an actual movie, and then they make like eight or nine movies based on the same movie and or book.
Peter Sellers.
A franchise. No, you know what you're doing now?
What?
You're doing that thing where I should. I get what you're doing.
Oh, I know. Robert Englund.
Robert Englund. Right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, for me.
And all for you, Mike.
Cake. I didn't expect cake. Delightful.
Everybody want to tease?
Yes.
You just want to tease like the last person on your list that you most look like?
A tease?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because everybody's got at least five.
Yeah,
all right.
The last person you don't have the pictures of.
What?
You have like the top four. So the last person is not even going to be one.
Okay, so who's the last person? Tell
me. For John Norman, his last match at 53% is Pete Sampras.
Okay, the tennis player.
Mm-hmm. Joe Ardinger's last match at 54% is Winston Churchill.
I've always said.
Rob's last match at 64% is Russell Crowe.
I've never said.
Wow. Buzz's last match at 53% is George Peppard.
Wow.
Mike's last match at 47% is Joe Lieberman.
Oh, no. I don't like that at all.
Sound right.
My last match at 46% is Josh Hartnett.
That's
the faggot cowboy.
No, he's not a cowboy.
He looks like the faggot cowboy.
Oh, yeah. He's not? He's not from...
No, that would be Heath Ledger or Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, what is he? What gay movie is he from?
He was in an Army movie.
Yeah, he's another pretty boy.
He was in, I think, that movie with Gyllenhaal and Jamie Foxx, wasn't he?
Okay. All right. Well, whatever. That's just the bottom.
Joe Lieberman. Well, you know what? Color me the big loser on that one.
Yeah.
Joe Lieberman.
Hello. Sorry, there. Mike. Don and Mike show. Not even really the show yet. Hello.
Hello.
Turn your radio down. Haven't we had this discussion daily about this
moon
time?
Moon cycle. Moon cycle.
Yeah.
Are you being followed by the moon cycle, Cat Stevens?
Moon cycle, moon cycle.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
And they saw you.
Hey, that website, can Please. Anybody go on there and get a comparison, or is that just...
No, you have to be a celebrity to do it.
You have to be a trained radio professional.
Got
to
be a celebrity.
Website right now, at least
it's not
as far
for
as
it's
know.
Not for regular folk like you.
Only open to disc jockeys right now.
Ah, okay.
And celebrities.
Hey, I saw James Gandolfini on Crimson Tide, and he kind of had a little bit of Tony in him in that part in that movie.
He's a bad guy in that movie, too.
Thank you, Roger.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he was the guy that backs up Gene Hackman.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Roger.
I love your show, man. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye.
Mr. Ebert.
Bye!
Remember, there's a great look that James Gandolfini has in Crimson Tide when they all bring their guns out, and I think that Hackman hits Denzel Washington, and they cut to James Gandolfini with this like little smirk on his face. Mm-hmm. Yeah, evil guy.
All I know about Crimson Tide is, what is it Vito, or what's the guy, who's the studly guy?
It's Viggo Mortensen.
Oh.
Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo all the way.
Yeah.
Yes, Viggo.
Weps. He plays Weps.
Wasn't he also
in Crimson Tide? I don't know why I remember.
We're a little anal about that movie.
Yeah, I am.
Wasn't he also in that movie, that great movie, an awful remake, but I really dug it, with Michael Douglas and Gwyneth Paltrow, where Michael Douglas hires him to kill Gwyneth Paltrow, and she ends up finding out that Michael Douglas is behind it.
I think that is Viggo.
And she shoots his ass.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know what she named her kid, her new kid? And she got the one kid Apple. And I know you're going to think it's like banana or something.
Moses, right?
Yeah, she named it Moses. But not for the reason you think. Not because, like, she's biblical or anything.
Uh-huh.
Moses is a Coldplay song.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of tacky.
I know. It's like, Jesus Christ. It's like if... Jerry Reed was the name of one of his kids, Amos. Amos Moses.
Amos Moses.
I said, Amos. All right, we'll be back, everybody, to start.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, hold on just one moment before we actually start the show.
Mm-hmm.
Let's open up the Dumas mailbag.
Very good.
Yes. We got a real big one today.
A turbo?
Steeman Dumas. And let me see. This guy listens on the internet. Got a big package when I came in today from a guy in Spring Hill, Tennessee. Okay, so I open the thing up, and it's got a picture of a celebrity. Get into this in a second. Let's see. Dear Don. This guy's so full of crap in so many ways.
Okay.
Just wait till I get to everybody's seen the picture already.
Mm-hmm.
It's an honor to write to you. I don't know where to start. Bottom line is, I think you and Mike are superstars. I know a lot of people don't look at radio personalities as stars, but as a radio guy myself...
Oh, there you go. Okay.
First rule right there. Since 1988, I recognize your immense talent. Radio gods is the right term for you guys, okay? So I'm reading this thus far, and it's like... Okay, he goes on to write that he likes a lot of elements in the show. I'm going, okay, that's good. And then we get to the part that oogs me out, and everybody agrees that this photo is fake, and just to sign this guy, and the fact that he's in radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you dumbass.
Red flag.
Dumas. It says, okay, one of the reasons I'm writing is to include something that will hopefully brighten your day just a little. This is after like three paragraphs of serious ass-kissing about our show.
Okay.
Enclosed with this letter is an authentic, signed picture from Dakota Fanning.
Oh, God.
Now, hold on just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Does everybody out there, maybe out there listening, do you get that? I don't want to have sex with Dakota Fanning. I don't think Dakota Fanning is hot. She's a talented little actress, and frankly... She's kind of an ugly little girl.
Well, and you're also not a pedophile.
It's a comment that I make about Dakota Fanning being accused of being hot.
It's that joke.
And that just because it kind of rubbed Mike the wrong way, which is why we did like the whole young girl song. Mm-hmm. But then you get something like this from
a
guy.
Also a joke underlined eight times a joke.
Yeah.
It's disturbing what this guy is doing.
Well, then the guy writes a signed picture from Dakota Fanning. But hold on. You're going to get the gist of why I'm bringing this up on the air in a second. I swear to God this is real! Exclamation point. You can look online and find others that match it. I'm a bit of an autograph collector and know you are a big fan of hers.
Hmm.
Listen, dude, dude.
Now, he might be joking. Maybe.
I heard she was good about signing, so I asked if she could sign one for you.
See, I don't believe that.
I would have got one for Mike, but I wasn't sure if he would like it as much.
No. Thank you.
Then it's a picture of Dakota Fanning, and here's why it has to be fake. It is a it's a glossy from a movie, and in a very shiny Sharpie, it has in what appears to be a man writing little girl handwriting.
Okay.
To Don, best wishes, and there's a heart over the I in wishes, always, exclamation point, and the little, it has the line, and then it's got a heart underneath it where the little thing goes. Love, comma, Dakota Fanning. And there's a, there's another heart over the I in Fanning, and it says, age 12. Now.
Yeah, it just doesn't
really,
make
dude,
sense.
Dude. We're going to have to try to find this. Robbie, here's a, he doesn't have a phone number, but here's a name and an address.
It's disturbing on so many levels.
For Brad England.
Yeah. So that's the one thing that Brad hangs on to, that, that Brad either,
now,
you know, that Brad, you know, fakes the signature or who knows.
If, you know, here's my point. If you were dumb enough to think that I was really a, you know, a, really a fan of Dakota Fanning, like that she's a fantastic actress, well, you're stupid. She's a little girl.
Well, also, let's not ignore the fact that maybe Brad's got some issues.
But then to send me the, send me this thing, this big J-O letter about the show, and then I got this, this thing. Now, even let's assume for a minute, and we know that it's not real. How do you get Dakota Fanning to write, to Don, best wishes always, love, Dakota Fanning, age 12?
And why would she put the age on it?
And why are all of the eyes and the exclamation point, why are they all with hearts?
Yeah.
Okay? Because the guy, I guess, thinks he's funny, and the letter goes on.
Well, he's trying to be funny. He's trying to be funny, but it's just, you know, hard to tell.
The letter goes on. Oh, Rob's trying to get him on the phone right now.
Ah, good. Okay.
Letter goes on to say, one final request. Even though I'm married and I'm 100% hetero, I am so gay for your show. Thankful you stream now. I moved from Sacramento to Nashville, my radio market. Anyway, I was wondering if you and Mike can sign a picture for me. And he sent a stamped self-addressed envelope.
Oh, then he's serious.
So we're going to sign the Dakota Fanning photo for him and send it back.
Be sure to dot your I's with hearts.
We will. Any luck?
Voicemail.
Voicemail.
That's a shame.
So listen, you know, not funny. I hate having to stop the show to explain crap like this.
You know,
to dumb
who knows
people
where,
like
you know,
this.
Wherever, whatever direction he's coming from,
not
highly
funny.
Disturbing.
Bad direction.
Not funny.
Leave the jokes and you know, and leave the attempts at making me uncomfortable in the hands of Don.
And
please. He's had a lot of practice.
And who would go on the internet to find out Dakota Fanning's handwriting anyway? Wouldn't Dakota Fanning's handwriting be like any 12-year-old kid's?
You're asking the wrong
guy. We should really scan this and put this on our website today, because you'll see, it doesn't it really look like a big, sweaty, fat man?
Yeah, it looks like
this?
A fat guy trying to make dainty, girly handwriting, and it's weird.
Yeah.
And the fact that that's what he hangs his hat on, that that's the part of the show, even if he's trying to be funny, the fact that that's the thing, that creeps me.
No,
that,
but that
creeps,
you know,
me out.
Again, the thing is, you know, I know you're a big fan. An authentic signed picture. I swear to God, this is real! Exclamation point. You can look online and find others that match it.
Well, he could have perhaps gone online and tried to duplicate it.
Hey, also, let me just say, I am no forgery expert, but if this is what Dakota Fanning's handwriting looks like, it looks like...
But she's got, like, hams for hands.
Yeah.
She's got, like, 400-pound man hands.
Yeah, she's got Catherine Mannheim hands.
Exactly.
On a little girl body.
But also, why would she... I mean, she is a child star, why would she put her age on there? Well, I don't understand that.
It doesn't make
sense. That, to me, is following up on the joke that she's age 12.
Okay.
12!
I don't know why that bothered me. And I'm gonna still say she's, you know, guilty of being hot!
And then what are we supposed to play? You should play the Paul Schaefer sound after that, so that we can identify it as the joke that it
that's
is.
That's right. Dakota Fanning is guilty of being hot!
Exactly.
Perfect. See, there you go. That's
just, do you agree with me that there's just something weird about it, something disturbing about it?
And we get emailed to our website at dynamitewebsite.com I won't even tell you about like the Photoshop stuff that people send us.
I'm sure.
You know, and I think most of them think it's funny. I know Yanni brings it in and goes, hey, look at this. And it's like, oh,
right.
Jesus. Like, it's like, you know, again, I just use it as the basic model for anything on the internet that I find oogie. You know, Bart Simpson making love with Snoopy.
Exactly. Right.
You know, anytime you get that, I don't know if I'm necessarily there. Sometimes I'm there.
Uh-huh. Do you think the internet has created more of these creeps, or were they always there? They just now have a vehicle.
They've always been there.
I think they've always been there.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys. You know, if you go on eBay and do a search for Dakota Fanning autograph, you'll see the picture you just described, except it says age 11 on it. It's got the little hearts and everything on it.
You know.
Well, either way.
Yeah,
listen,
either way.
Even if the guy really did get Dakota Fanning to sign this, and if that's how she really
it's
is, you know.
It's still creepy.
But it sounds to me like she has JonBenet Ramsey for JonBenet Ramsey's parents raising her, if they're letting her sign pictures like
probably.
That. But still, dude, and now I'm talking to the dude in Nashville. You're in radio, for God's sakes.
Careful.
What do you think? What do you think? I really got a boner for her? Or do you think that I think she's incredibly talented? No. Here's the picture of the woman I have in front of me every day. It's not my wife. It's no. It's nobody. You know who it is? It's Jennifer Aniston.
As an adult.
You want to make me happy?
An adult.
You get me a picture of Jennifer Aniston that says, Jennifer Aniston, I love you.
Mm-hmm. Would
Jennifer
she be at
Aniston.
The top? If you could get a signed picture, would she be at the top of your list?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who would be at the top of your list, Buzz?
Well, let me think about that.
Okay.
So many
Sorry.
To choose from.
Don't
every,
mean to
day,
be taxing.
Every day as we do the show, a lot of people, when they first come into the studio, think, oh, that's nice. You have a picture of Frida in here. They even thought that when Frida was alive.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I would say, no.
No,
it's not, that's not my wife. My wife's pretty. But that's Jennifer Aniston. I have a variety.
You know, I'm sensitive about the whole thing about Dakota Fanning. I'd take it even one step further, maybe because I am oversensitive, because I'm the father of two daughters. Mm-hmm. Just, it seems that there is a core of guys, and I, sir, on the phone, sorry, but to take the time to research this, there's just, you know, it just creeps me out. It really does. The whole, you know, the whole interest in this thread is just weird. You know, stop it. Just stop it, all of you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Stop.
Bye!
String of
Bye-bye.
Robberies. God.
Yeah, I have a nice collection of Aniston pictures.
You know, go look for some sports memorabilia.
First, here's a really great one from Vanity Fair,
mm-hmm.
You know, where she's wearing a wife beater.
That's from a few years back.
And the two best things about her are just poking right through and saying, hello, hello, hello.
There she is.
F me, TF me now.
That is one of the sexiest pictures I've ever seen.
It is.
This is a TFing picture, okay? Mm-hmm. Then on the back you have Jennifer Aniston. Again, maybe from Vanity Fair. I'm not sure which magazine this is from. These are years old, and these are in an old... If you're really a student of the show, you know what a PV-119 is,
mm-hmm.
which is that plastic...
Page protector.
Page protector, yeah.
But those are perfectly preserved photographs.
I've got the... and it's a
They're not even yellowing yet.
A beautiful glossy for standing underneath a waterfall.
Yes.
In which you can, again, see... Just the Titanic globes, which make me really want a milkshake.
And what's the picture down the right?
And the picture on the bottom is one that I got from our friend Greg Garcia,
mm-hmm.
the producer, the inventor of My Name Is Earl.
Right.
It's a photo he took of Jennifer Aniston when he was sitting in the second row at the People's Choice Awards.
Right.
And goddamn, if her headlights are not on.
Look at that.
So
yeah.
And that is a candid photo that Greg sent.
Right. It's wonderful.
So I have these three photos all mashed up together, and every day, that's what's sitting in front of me.
Is that whole Vince Vaughn thing etched in stone?
Oh, no, that's just a hype, whatever movie they got coming
out. Tabloid hype?
No,
nothing.
Yeah.
But she's still out there.
Yeah. Jennifer Aniston is okay, but it's Dakota Fanning, man. Guilty of being hot!
Paul Schaefer in the band.
Well, right. They recently had to spend several million dollars to reshoot the ending of that Aniston movie because in the movie they were ended apart and it tested so badly because America feels Jennifer Aniston needs to be happy.
I don't doubt that for
That's
a second.
True. I could make her happy. Oh, I could make her happy for about 30 seconds. I'd really make me happy.
And then do you think the fantasy would be over?
No.
Once you had, you know, climbed every mountain?
Nope.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't think so.
I would just go to Costco and buy just a bulk of handy wipes. Wet wipes. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Sanitary cloths.
Said, Mommy.
Mommy.
I'm for cleaning.
Oh, God.
Hello.
Don.
Yes.
Hey, what you should have done is called the guy first, because now I'm sure word's going to get back to him that you've been talking like this. No matter what he says, he's going to say that he was joking now. You're not going to get the straight truth out of him.
Thank you for pointing out the obvious to me. Thank you. You know, I love it when our listeners call and really think that, yeah, that they know, you know, what's going on. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
Bye, ass.
I wish... What ass? Don't hang up, douche.
Too late.
Get him back, Joe. Get him back. I'm sorry. It's a violation. It's a violation. Get him back, ass.
You know, Don, you know, you're going to blow the whole thing. Well, that's why we call the guy and we try to do it right away, because we will move past it. We will never revisit it. No.
Thank you, idiot.
Unless he calls in.
Yes, if he calls in and word gets back to him, then yes, then we will have a discussion.
And I have faith in people. We just, you know, even if he says a joke, we're not doubting that he may have thought of it as a joke.
He's just stupid then. Hello, Don and Mike show. I mean,
hey, Don and Mike,
way.
How you doing?
Hey,
is that guy you're talking about named Tim Montemere?
I don't know.
I thought his name was Brad. This guy's name is Scott. Brad.
Okay, we had a guy from KCK that left Sacramento and went to Nashville.
Well, no.
Well, he might be his air name.
He did. Hold on, you got the letter, Robbie? Because he did write in the letter that, hold on a second. What are you, a radiophile?
His name was Brad. A little bit.
Another guy who's in radio.
His name is Brad, and in the letter, hold on a second. It said, did I throw it away?
No, I think it's in there. Hold on.
In the letter, I think it's, because we might be able to figure out exactly what dumb DJ this is.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a second to find the letter. Thank you, Rob. Let's see. I've been thankful for your stream since I moved from Sacramento to Nashville in 2000.
Is that about the time he left?
No, he didn't leave. He left about 8 months ago.
Oh, then. Too bad. Thank
How
you,
unfortunate.
Though.
That's a shame. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Why would people leave Sacramento?
I have no idea.
Sorry to be such a downer. I don't like starting the show like with a lecture. But you know,
God's country.
You know, here's the thing. It's taxes, and I'm just in the mood to lecture today, so mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Did you think of your favorite autograph yet?
I did, actually.
Okay. I think Eva Longoria.
She's new.
That's a pretty good choice.
Brand
new. Trying to stay current. That's. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to name somebody old.
Boy, did I lecture today. My kid. Ooh. Man boy. Yee. Here's the thing. I'm down to the wire on this goddamn tax stuff. I'm getting everything done perfectly.
Good.
Got it under control. Get to the guy's office. The other guy, he says, things are great, except I don't have Bart's W-2. I say, that is an impossible statement that I know I spoke to him a week ago. He assured me that he sent it, and blah, 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 blah. So he says, well, I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. You better call him up. So I call him up, and he's like, hey, Dad, I'm in class. I said, well, step outside of class for a second.
Call me when you have class.
He says, I can't step out of class. I said, you answered the phone. I'm sitting in the accounts office. I go, you answered the phone. It's like, what? If I was really important, you would take the call out of the room. I said, what, do you have your earpiece in? He said, yes. I said, okay, go out in the hallway now. I need to speak to you now. So he goes out in the hallway, and he says, yes. And the tone is, you know, yes. And I said, listen, I'm in the office with Steve, the tax guy, one of the tax guys. Mm-hmm. We didn't get your W-2. He said, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you that. I sent it to the wrong address, and it came back.
Oh.
It's at my apartment. And I said, oh, Jesus Christ. Okay, we'll get you an extension. We'll work on it. And then he started talking to me about tax forms and what I had filled out and what I hadn't filled out, and what deductions I was getting. I mean, he was asking what I thought were personal questions that he had no business asking.
Wasn't he consulting you a little bit?
Yes, what he was
giving
doing.
Giving you his opinion?
Well, here's what it revolves around, in a nutshell, is because Frida has passed away, and because Bart is now 21, my car insurance, thank God, for me, is going to go way down, because mm-hmm. I don't have Frida on the policy. She had some tickets and stuff, and I don't have Bart on. Now, I got to get him as a resident of whatever state he's going to live in, Virginia or South Carolina, and then to get the insurance set up, okay? Mm-hmm. So, all he has to do is just get the friggin' W-2 to me. But no, we get off on a sidebar. We get off on this sidebar where he starts talking to me about car insurance, mm-hmm. and I say, one topic at a time. Yes, the car insurance is going to be handled. He said, Dad, you should really do the car insurance before you do the taxes. And I said, hold on. Now you're in the deep water now. I said, don't be telling me what I need to do. He said, Dad, I'm just trying to help you save money. And I said, you're trying to what? He said, I'm trying to help you save money. Now, I love this kid more than life itself, but I'm just fried from this tax crap.
Right.
And I unloaded him. I said, when's the first day in your life you ever tried to save me money? And I was like, there was a little bit of silence. And I said, there are things now that Mom is gone that we're going to have to get straight. You don't dick with me about adult things like my life and my money and my taxes. You know what I want from you, buddy boy? I want you to get that W-2 in the mail, and I want you to say, yes, sir, and I want you to say, thank you for doing that, and I understand what you're going through, Dad, and I'll talk to you later. Do you got that? I mean, really, I was just losing. I was teats up. Yeah. I mean, I had
very stressful
steam coming out of my ears. Yeah. I said, I don't need financial advice from goddamn Ashton Kutcher. I said, you want to make me happy? You want to save me some money? Get better grades and get your ass out of college faster than we think. That's how you can save me money. I was just livid, and I had to call him back when I had calmed down to say, you know, and he said the same thing. He overreacted too. It's just, the thing with the taxes has been so stressful for me.
Yeah,
and I'm sorry, because I know everybody in the world does it. As you know, as I've told you many times, I've never done it. I get there today, and it's such a pisser. It's like, I got everything done, and he said at the last minute, hold on. No, your genius son never sent the W-2. Mm-hmm. And so I call him up in class, and then that's when he says, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And then while we're discussing it, he starts telling me how, you know, Dad, if I become a resident of South Carolina, you can save more money on the insurance if you do it. And I said, hey, listen, hold on, Geico. Slow down for just a second. You know, I said, there are many, many things that we are going to discuss now. I said, but there are a lot of things that we're not going to discuss. You know, you're 21. I'm 47.
Right.
You handle, how about this? Try getting all B's.
Right.
And I realize when I say that...
Well,
that,
you were curt with him.
That was like me saying, like, F you. Because he's a smart kid. Mm-hmm. And I just really let him have it. And I let him have it to the point that I was standing in the parking lot of the accountants. And there were some guys that were paving a street right kitty-corner to where I am. And as I walked back into the accountant's office, one of them walked up to me and said, are you okay? Because it was like, I guess I was having like a little
blood vessel
meltdown. I was standing on the street.
Really. Were you hopping?
Yeah, jumping up. I was like, I'm not going to take financial advice from friggin' Ashton Kutcher. He's like, what? I mean, there was more layers to it. I mean, there was,
I'm sure.
You know, I said, you know,
but you made it right. You called him back, and everything's fine.
Things are fine for you. You just wear your hat backwards and don't worry about where your next meal's coming from. Go down there and have a good time. Do you know I'm up to my ass in this paperwork? Do you know that this was a full-time job for Mom? Do you know I got a job that I got to go to? He's like, Dad, what's going on? And that's when I just had to lay it on.
Right.
You know, hey, listen, here's all I want to hear from you. Yes, sir. Dad, I appreciate it. And I will get that W-2 form in the mail tomorrow, because now I have to get an extension.
Okay.
All right.
Back it off.
Don't hurt me.
But the good thing is that you were able to, you know, call him back and get that worked out.
Yeah, I mean, besides, it was fine. Yeah. I mean, it
had to be done.
I know
any parent that's got older kids would know that when you're coming from that position, it can be frustrating.
Hey, listen, he's like any 21-year-old. He thinks he knows it all.
Mm-hmm. And he probably was just trying to... Was he trying to be helpful?
Yes, he truly was. Yeah, it's just I was not in the mood for it today.
Right.
It's like, you know, as he sits down there in his underwear eating Cheetos, you know, thinking about if he's going to skip his noon class... You know, he forgets the fact that I got up at 5:45 this morning, and I'm going through goddamn tax forms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the last thing I need when I get to the accountant is he says, "Oh yes, incidentally."
Yeah, I know.
You know, we never got this from him
before you start. The point was before the advice comes, perhaps just do what you asked. Cover the bases.
That would be it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, he is a smart kid, and someday he's going to be. You know, someday you're probably going to be lunching on his yacht.
I don't think so.
Would that be because he's not going to have the yet, or because you're going to be gone?
Oh, no. I will live forever, Mike. That yes. I'm convinced. That
congratulations.
This is God's punishment to me.
Incidentally, I did say congratulations on that.
You just
said you're going to live forever.
Thank you.
And I was congratulating you.
That makes you a winner, Don.
Congratulations, Don.
Yes, I will live forever. That's a joke, because I may not make it through the show today. There's a very good chance that I'm going to go...
What's that main vessel explode?
Teats up. I don't know why I'm so freaking hormonal. I really don't know why. Like that.
I know why you are. You've explained it. You explained it to yourself.
Yeah.
It's the tax thing. And now that's done.
Yeah.
Now that's done.
But it's not really done.
It's not done because there's an extension, but that's done too. Not like you're going to have to worry about that.
Gotcha. Okay, well then, we better... Oh, you know what?
What?
Jesus Christ. That'd right. be a good idea to do this, wouldn't it?
Still not open.
Oh, in a dump? Here we go.
Forever long, I think about my
favorite place. Anybody bother to notice what a mess this show is?
I enjoy it this way. And you know, we all enjoy it this way.
Is there a more disorganized show?
It's art.
For God's sake.
It's not a mess. It's art.
It's art. Oh, it's art.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like Jason Pollock. Right.
But that's toilet art.
Right.
Jackson.
What?
Jackson.
Yeah.
Jason.
Jason Voorhees.
3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between, thank you, Robbie, or between 2 and 6 or 1 and 5, noon to 4. Check your local listings.
The Don and Mike Show.
Call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Ho, 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 it's magic.
Hello.
Hi there. You know.
Hello. Hi there.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
Tell me about it. Well, we start today with Pilot.
You know.
Good pen. Good band. Pretty good?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Right. He's mentally retarded.
Oh, hey, Duke, that was a little premature. We didn't even open up the door.
Hello.
There we go.
He's mentally retarded.
There we are.
How is your Rocky and Bucky Covington? Bucky's gone.
How is your hyperactive son?
Very fond of his mother. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. maybe some other time.
Okay, all right.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Barker's Tendon and all the ships at sea. And now, a warm welcome for Larry Bird and Henry Fonda. No, wait. It's actually Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Very good.
Yeah. Thank you, there you go. And hi there, everybody. Goddamn right. Don Mike Show, and it's a new episode on this Thursday. 0413 at 6.
Hi, Don Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Hi there, bud. And you can call us from anywhere. Anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. Or you can call 800-636-1067. If you live in Washington, D.C., you're listening on WJFK, you can call us at 202-432-1067. We're also on the Internet. Go to DonandMikeWebsite.com. Just click on Listen Live. You get our beautiful Internet stream. And Mike?
Oh, not a chance.
This is Bucky Covington sweat.
Well, I don't even want to be in the same room with that.
It's ass sweat.
Oh, that is nasty.
Bucky's ass sweat.
Man. Same color as that product you guys were drinking earlier.
Aspirate, Bucky's ass sweat.
Wow. Is that iced coffee?
Oh, did you see Bucky's twin brother that we talked about yesterday?
Rocky Covington.
At the end of American Idol last night. So go to our website to hear us live on the Internet at DonandMikeWebsite.com. If you ever want to send us an electronic mail, do it during the show. Send
sure.
it to email at DonandMikeWebsite.com. And we're also on iTunes. Lots of the episodes are available at iTunes.com. There you go. Okay. Thank you for letting me get all of that out today.
You feel better?
Yep, I do.
Good.
Now we can get right to the pressing matter at hand.
Mm-hmm.
These celebrities that we resemble, according to MyHeritage.com.
Now, yesterday when you did this, I really didn't think it made a hell of a lot of sense.
No.
So I'm hoping that the candid photos that were taken here in the studio were scanned, put into this website, and now I hope the celebrity lookalikes are spit out in a much more intelligent fashion.
And much thanks to Yanni Norman, our web guy, who John has worked very hard in. As soon as we talk about this, the photos will be up on the webpage now. I guess they'll be probably on today's log. Is that where you'll find them?
I think that's where he's going to put them. And I want to compliment all of you guys, because when I got up this morning a little after 6 and I went to my email and I opened those candid photos, what a bunch of good-looking guys.
Yeah, you bet we are.
Yeah, I couldn't choose a favorite.
Handsome and handsomer. You could.
What?
Yes, you could, because you sent me the picture of Joe.
I did.
Like Joe just
did at 6:20.
Joe took a digital photo and like 1 inch away from his face, and Rob sent it to me, and I opened this thing up, this attachment up, and it's like all of a sudden the screen opens up, and it's like every nook and cranny in Joe's face.
Felt like you were looking at a whole skillet full of Play-Doh.
High-def Joe.
I had to imagine you screamed like when Flounder his face came up in Animal House on the screen.
So you look like a pan full of dinner rolls. Is that what it looks like?
Joe Parker House.
Joe Brown and served.
So yesterday we went to this website. We put our publicity pictures from the website in.
Right.
And this is some, Rob, what is the deal with this thing? It's art facial recognition?
Yeah, it recognizes the face. It takes measurements of your eyes and your nose. And
the
it matches
face!
In your face! And it matches you with a huge bank of celebrities.
Right. there you go. Yeah, but you know what? Your prediction might be actually accurate. You were saying not getting through the show. There we go.
God!
Just black.
I don't know.
Just black lung.
Just black. Excuse me. Sinuses are a
hay fever.
Bitch today.
Hey, Don. The flowers, they are a blooming.
I was telling you guys it's coming in today. It's like Jesus Christ.
Good.
Okay. So
cleared it all out.
Yesterday when we did this,
can I get you a Zyrtec?
Give me a what?
A Zyrtec. It's like Claritin, but with a fist.
You know, the solar system. It's a different solar system. It's the planet Zyrtec. It's right next to Lunesta.
Welcome to the planet Zyrtec.
We are from Zovirax. We have been fighting the Zyrtecs for over 20 years, but we will take refuge on the planet Lunesta.
Now, Lunesta, that's my nighttime friend.
The sleep pill, yeah.
But the Claritin.
Yeah.
The problem with that, with all of the stuff in the air...
Uh-huh.
I went to Costco,
right,
and I didn't even look. I saw they had Claritin, like always, 8,000 boxes for, I don't know, $15. So I said, throw it in. A couple of nights ago, I had the windows open, and it was gone. Just congested as hell. Mm-hmm. So I think, I've got the Claritin, right? Mm-hmm. Beautiful from Costco. I go, I pop one, I get back into bed. I wake up like at 3:15.
Is it the Claritin like non-drowsy?
Of course it is.
And
I swear to God, yes, Claritin D. I swear to God, if anybody wants it, I'm not kidding. I have 8 shrink-wrapped full boxes of like 30 of them.
It's like speed.
I'll take it. Buzzy wants it.
He'll turn a profit.
Buzz will eat one right now.
Okay, so.
I'm feeling better for the news.
So the deal with this website, MyHeritage.com, it's made by researchers in Israel. They work with genes and G-E-N-E-S, genes like that. They want to have people update photos and use the software to track down relatives.
Blue genes.
And even law enforcement thinks that eventually they might be able to use this in some way to find bad guys.
Interesting.
So we put our publicity
photos. Well, if they're looking for me, they're going to find somebody that looks like Henry Fonda.
So we put it in yesterday, and the number one answer for each of us, for me, Don, it was Larry Bird.
Mm-hmm.
I was very proud about that. Mike had a three-way tie. Henry Fonda, Oliver Stone, Jason Alexander.
Right.
Buzz had Kathleen Turner.
Hands down.
At number one.
Mm-hmm.
Rob was tied with Howard Dean and Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Right.
And Joe had Ricky Martin as number one.
Right. And then we scanned different pictures, and these are the results of those.
Yeah, because somebody pointed out that probably what they're looking at is the way that, because the pictures on our website were actually taken by someone who knows what they're doing.
The jaunty angle.
A lot of it was the way that we were posing and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
These are just the pictures that will be up on our website in a second.
Square on.
Are just our big, fat, ugly faces.
Mm-hmm. These are more accurate.
And here are your new...
Sadly, yes.
Here are your new results. Joe Ardinger. Let's start with Joe. Joe had Ricky Martin as his number one.
Right.
I'll give you a Joe's... top three.
Okay.
At number three for Joe. Oh, boy. It's too, now, I got to make it four because that's the only way you can include the women.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tied at number four for yeah. Joe, each with 55%.
Uh-huh.
Is Meg Ryan and Sandra Bullock.
Wow.
Wow.
And of course, and then after that is Winston Churchill.
Sexy Joe.
So you go from the bottom to the top with Joe. It's Winston Churchill,
mm-hmm.
Sandra Bullock, Meg Ryan. The next celebrity he most resembles is Elton John at 60%. Uh-huh. The one after that is Sean Astin at 63%.
Wow.
And Joe's number one celebrity lookalike, and we'll have the picture on our website where you'll see Joe and this guy,
right.
is Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker.
Fascinating.
Now,
when the pictures go up, we actually have the top four lookalikes for everybody.
Oh, good. Even so, better.
Okay, that's a good thing.
The top four. I'll tell you that somebody else also has Mark Hamill as their number one lookalike.
Okay, wow.
Somebody right. else in our group. How about Johnny Norman? Now, a lot of people don't know what Johnny looks like.
But he'll be on the web, too.
His yeah. pictures will be up, too. Mm-hmm. I've stated that I think he kind of looks like Jim Carrey and the Cable Guy.
Cable Guy yeah. with his shaved head.
Yeah.
Here are Johnny's top four.
All right.
And number four is Rachel Hunter. 58%.
Wow.
Number three is Arnold Schwarzenegger at 60%.
Congratulations, John.
Dead ringer.
Number two. Hello there. This am Carl Lewis.
Good.
God damn, I can run fast.
Carl Lewis.
Yeah.
And Johnny's number one celebrity lookalike at 63% is Justin Timberlake.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not Mark Hamill.
Interesting.
Let's go to Rob. Let's go to Robbie. Rob's top four. Number four.
I'm very proud of this one.
Art Garfunkel.
Thank you. Another wow. man with a beautiful head of hair.
Number three. George Lazenby, excuse me.
Who the hell is he?
He played James Bond in On Her Majesty's Secret Service,
right.
a British actor.
All right.
You'll and see his picture on the
Rob
web.
Has a tie at number one.
Uh-huh.
There's the Japanese-Chinese actor that we told you about.
Korean.
Tony Chu.
Yeah. Tony Chu.
And Rob's number one celebrity match, it's a tie at 71%. Is John Travolta.
Thank you.
Wow, congratulations.
You've said it for
always.
Years.
Yeah. Absolutely, Vincent.
Thank you.
Now to Buzz.
Yes.
Buzz,
uh-huh.
not making the cut. If we're going to do just your top four.
Oh, okay. What didn't make the top four?
George Peppard.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Robin Williams.
Uh-huh.
Susan Sarandon.
Oh.
Buzz Burbank.
Of the Lemons.
Buzz Burbank, number four at 57%.
Yes.
Sean Astin.
Again?
Yeah.
Just like Joe.
Wow, Sean Astin, very popular.
Yeah, you're going to love this one, Buzz.
I know.
Number three, 58%.
Uh-huh.
Be proud.
That's strong.
Mick Jagger.
Wow. That's amazing to me.
Number two, 59%, Joe Montana.
Uh-huh. That's good.
And for our friend Buzz, same as Joe, number one celebrity... Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill.
66%.
Is that pre-accident Mark Hamill or post-accident
Mark? Pre-accident
Mark
Hamill.
Now, Joe has Mark Hamill at 71%. You have Mark Hamill at 66%.
So Joe looks like Mark Hamill and Sean Astin, and I look like Mark Hamill and Sean Astin, according to this.
And yet you and Joe don't resemble each other at all.
No. It's a little strange with that.
None of the six of us.
All right, we'll go with my top four next.
Okay.
Number four. Oh, I'm flattered.
Uh-huh.
Steven Seagal.
Congratulations.
Number three, color me doubly flattered, Rupert Murdoch.
Wow.
Number two, Clint Eastwood.
I had that yesterday.
And my number one with 67% is Ed Norton.
Ed Norton. You did better than you did yesterday.
Now, yesterday, Buzz looked like Clint Eastwood. And today you look like Clint Eastwood.
That's right.
But my number one is Norton.
Yeah,
that's right. And I know there has to be a reason that you saved me for last.
And I think what we need is the picture of Mike's guy. Can you have Johnny print it out? Because
I think so,
well,
yeah.
Anyway, here we go, Mike. Here's your top four.
Okay.
You're gonna be happy with number four.
All right.
Because you have Lieberman on your list, but he's at number five.
Okay.
Your number four is Brad Pitt.
Wow.
Strong.
Your number three is Tony Danza.
Wow.
Your number two at 60% is Johnny Knoxville.
That means number one's got to be really special.
Your number one celebrity match with 72%, which incidentally was the highest number of anybody that had the photos put in, is J.R.R. Tolkien. Tolkien.
Like
Tolkien.
Like the Hobbit author?
The Lord of the Rings guy.
The guy that wrote Lord of the Rings? And then they have a picture of him. So it only works with the guy's picture,
it
right?
It really only works because he's got like, it's him like in the wizard suit or something.
Oh, man.
I mean, can we get a picture? Because
wow,
that's the only way to really to show Mike what this guy. And
okay.
So that's your number one. And it's really, like I said, that was the biggest percentage.
I got it. I have to see this guy because I don't know what he looks like.
I didn't either. I didn't know who he was. Buzz, you got something there? Are you doing a search to find his picture?
Trying to find a big one.
I mean, I saw a bunch today. And he's a handsome man, Mike. It's hard to find a bad picture of
J.R. Tolkien.
J.R.R.
And this is J.R.R. Tolkien.
J.R.R. Tolkien.
Here's a small one. I'll try to find a
bigger
one. He's 100
years old. That's the picture that I got right there. Wow. That's good. So who are my top four? It was Brad Pitt,
Tony Danza,
Johnny Knoxville, and J.R.R. Tolkien.
Jesus.
I don't think that site's worth
There's a bigger
more
picture.
Spit.
There's a bigger picture.
Oh, really? You got a bigger picture of him?
And much more flattering.
Another 9-year-old picture of him.
Congratulations, Mike.
Jesus, is there any picture where he's, like, looking at the camera?
No, he was never, and he was never young.
He was young.
Always old.
Let me find out from... Wait, you know what is wrong with this thing?
Would I win the award for the most obscure lookalike?
I believe so.
See, it's a name that was instantly recognizable, but
the face certainly isn't.
When Rob gave me the results, I said, "Who the hell is that?"
Now, here's a younger picture of him, but he looked more old German.
Hello, hey Yanni.
Buzz brought up a World War One photograph of
Joe. Who's this, Joe?
Hello,
Joe. Hey, Joe, is Johnny getting these pictures up on the web?
Yeah, I guess so, because he's not here. Hold on. Hi, Don.
Hi, Rob.
Spiewak. The picture is printing, but it's a full-size picture, so it's going to take about another 25 seconds.
Okay.
All right.
No problem.
And are we...
And the way this website works, right, there's a specific picture that I match, right?
Exactly. Okay. It's really startling.
The website produced the pictures that we put up on our website,
Right. Okay. Which
should be up as we speak. Now, if you go to today's steaming log,
that's right.
You should be able to see that. Thank you. Bye, Joe.
Bye.
Or, excuse me, goodbye, Mark Hamill. Hey, Joe, how do you feel about having shared both Sean Astin and Mark Hamill with Buzz?
Well, Buzz and I have things in common.
Obviously.
Joe. Thank you. Thank you, as always.
Of course. My pleasure.
Dan's Monkey Dance.
Always wonderful insights.
Bye, Joe.
Good day.
And there you go.
Every time that we have those exchanges, I thank God that he can work with me.
Can you imagine what his tax return must be like? I'm just thinking, like, you know, just imagine writing something with your foot.
Right.
You know, like, Joe X. This is Zardinger here.
Well, a tax form is perfectly legal if you make your mark. That's right.
This is the picture.
Okay.
Now the website came up with a celebrity that you most resemble.
There's a nice close up of Mr.
God. Oh my God. That's terrifying.
It is. It really is.
That is really, really terrifying.
So all that stuff's up on our website, along with the beautiful photos of us from yesterday. Don and Mike show. I don't think you look anything like you. Hello.
Hello.
Hey,
yeah,
hello.
Hey, can you guys run pictures of celebrities through it and see if they even pop themselves up?
Hello. Learn to listen and listen to learn.
Right.
Thank you. That question has been addressed and answered.
Oh, then I'm a giant dumbass, and I apologize.
Thank you.
Profusely.
You're a very bad listener. Thank you.
Bye!
Bye-bye. See you later. Hello, Donna Much. And yes, the answer is yes. We put in a picture of Elvis, and Elvis came back as the number two celebrity match.
I forgot. It was actually the third. It was F. Murray Abraham.
For Elvis?
Yes, I swear to God.
Jesus! Wow.
F. Murray Abraham, Roy Scheider, and then Elvis at a 78% match. It was Elvis in Hawaii. It was like a fatter Elvis.
Hello, Don and Mike.
I can't stop staring at that picture of J.R. Tolkien.
Hello, J.R.R. Tolkien.
J.R.R. Tolkien.
Yes.
Of course. I hate to forget that second R.
Hello.
Don and Mike, this is just proof that Joe is the illegitimate child of Buzz.
That's true.
Perfect.
Bye.
All right, so that that junk should be up on the. What are you doing?
What'd
you get, like,
he's putting more Thimpsy.
He's getting the push pins. I see.
He wants to pack it up.
Do you have a Sharpie?
I do.
Okay.
What do you want, Mike, to autograph it?
Yeah, I'll autograph it.
Or should I just do it as you?
Yeah, go ahead. Good. Best. There it is. Look at Rob with his right hand doing my fake signature. There he is.
Rob could be a master forgerer when it comes to our signatures.
Scary.
Not that
scary.
Our signatures are worth anything. Stop it. I know who you got coming up next. Harvey Warren, right?
Yeah, that's his name.
Yes, I'm fascinated with this guy. You'll find out. Maybe you'll agree or maybe you won't agree. I don't know. This is a guy. We talked about him earlier in the week, said we were going to have him on the show. If you've seen the movie Rockstar with Marky Mark, an awful movie, where there's a band like Van Halen, and they're out touring, and one of the guys quits or dies or something, and they get a guy from a tribute band, and it's Marky Mark, and he actually does a good job, and he buys the Batmobile, and it's a movie about a guy who's in a wannabe band.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had this story, and we found the guy. When Motley Crue played in Canada last week, I think we mentioned this to you, Tommy Lee was not able to play the drums because he had a tendonitis in his right, something like
his
that.
His wrist.
Anyway, there's some guy that works at Starbucks that's in a cover band, and they drove all around the city trying to find a guy. You can't take your eyes off that picture, can you?
No, I keep staring at it. It's scary. It's terrifying.
You know what? That picture
scares the hell out of me, actually. It really does. I feel like I'm looking at a relative.
With no offense to J.R.R. Tolkien or Mike.
Right.
That picture, that one, you could almost say that man was a war criminal.
Yeah, I know. Uh-huh. Has that Klaus Barbie quality to it, doesn't it? I don't know why I'm frightened by it, Don, but it's scaring the hell out of me being here in the studio.
But this guy was in a cover band. This guy, Warren, he was working at Starbucks in a cover band. One day he's in Starbucks, and Motley Crue comes in, or at least Tommy Lee comes in, says, hey, aren't you a drummer in a fake band? And they say, yes. Do you want to play with me tonight? Yes, so he did. So we'll talk to the guy.
That's
I think it's a fascinating real-life story.
It is. And, you know, a lot of those cover bands are pretty, when they're tribute. Now, is it a cover band or a tribute band?
It is a cover band.
Okay.
They do, like, a tribute act as well, but he's also in a band.
All right, very good.
Pictures are up, Don.
We'll talk to him. Oh, pictures are up on the web. Oh, good. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
For kicks and giggles, I put Brad Pitt through the MyHeritage.
Yeah.
And it came up only 74% that it might be him.
Uh-huh. Well, that seems to be what we're finding. Who was Brad Pitt's number one?
Yeah.
Who was that number one?
Yes. Yeah, Brad Pitt was Brad Pitt.
Bye!
Number one. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how about Jesus? Well, come over and download Jesus on there.
Well, you know, there are so many recreations of Jesus. You have to pick the one. I enjoy the black one.
I would go with Silent Bob.
Blaspheme on your own time, sir.
And let's take this time to remind you at 4:31 East Coast time, Christ is King.
Way to do it this week, Don.
I'm making it happen.
You never forget.
For Peter Cottontard. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, this is Bonnie.
Yes, Bonnie.
I just wanted to...
You know, I think we may need a translator on this, Rob, if you can give me a hand.
Just a moment, Bonnie.
Bonnie, hold on.
We're just going to translate for you. You ready to go, Bonnie?
Go ahead, Bonnie.
Okay. The first thing I saw when I saw Don Fitcher, I thought of... I think his name is John Hurt.
John Hurt.
Oh, John... Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
I guess... What was that? What was that? Can you say that again?
Okay. Was he Bette Midler's husband on Beaches?
No, I don't think he was Bette Midler's husband in Beaches. I'm really not sure.
I'm not sure, but that's the guy I thought you looked like.
You thought that Don looked like, you thought that Don looked like John Hurt?
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Is that bad?
Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Once again, Rob Spiewak doing the translating for the female callers.
Feels good to brush up on that.
Yeah, and you're getting better and better at it.
Thank you.
And there you go, Mike. If you look at Buzz's studio, he has on the website now. God, those are hideous pictures of us and our four top celebrity lookalikes.
But my snapshot, this new one we took for this project, is the most...
Hey, where's Brad Pitt?
Retarded photo of me ever.
I don't know.
Where's my Brad Pitt?
You don't have
if
a
I'm going to have evil war criminal...
Scroll down. Is Brad Pitt underneath Tony Danza?
Nope.
Yeah, all right. Way to omit Brad Pitt, John.
Always
put Brad Pitt. Everybody else gets four. I want Brad Pitt up there. Now I'm pissed.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I'm like
simple oversight. Simple oversight.
I'll do it right now.
Yeah.
Chill.
Put the old guy on there, but skip Brad Pitt.
I came up Brad Pitt as well as the Halloween mask. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, I'm curious, is your father F.R.R. Tolkien?
F.R.R. Tolkien.
F.R.R. Tolkien.
I don't get it.
See, if you're J.R.R., then you're junior, and if he's S.R.R., then he's senior.
Oh, S.R.R.
Bye!
Comedy, you have to reconstruct.
Again, the motto of this show, you know, more of us, less of you. Sorry to say, although I love the participation. Some days, you know, I just feel like going out and just running my car into a telephone pole so we can't take calls.
Right.
And then some days I just feel like doing it just because I just feel like doing it.
Uh-huh.
Run my car right into a telephone pole. Okay, so the guy, Harvey Warren.
Yeah,
we got to take a break. Then we'll talk to this guy from Starbucks.
Harvey Warren.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, smart girl.
WKFK.
And she has huge ones.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, boy, there goes that rock band again.
That's not rock. It's okay if you only know three chords, but God, put them in the right order.
That noise has been giving Nancy headaches all week. Then yesterday, her back broke out in scratch marks.
Well, I'll go over and straighten them out.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. Here to repossess your funny bone, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Don't you feel like some girl should be putting her daisy, like half an inch from your drink right now?
Every day. No, I think that all the girls that work in the club should all be parading out simultaneously.
Okay,
please welcome Pickles, Ginger, Bunny, and there they are, guys.
That's the move, Mike.
Right.
Here they come. Here come your girls for the night.
Only in the better establishments do they do that, though.
Do you remember... when we went to the Gold Club in Atlanta?
That kind of place would do that, right? Where they get... I mean, it was Super Bowl time, so they'd have just hundreds of girls working in one of these joints. And then they'd all gather on the stage and they'd play that song.
Yeah.
And they'd come walking down in order.
Who doesn't love Motley Crue? I actually like a lot of their songs.
Yeah.
We have... where's that one? Don't Go Away Mad, Just Go Away.
On there?
Yeah, number 16.
Yeah.
Go to 16. That's a good one. What else do we have? Girls. Dr. Feelgood. Anyway, this is Motley Crue. So, Tommy Lee was the drummer in that band.
Right.
Tommy Lee, incidentally, gigantic. You know that, right?
Yeah. Anybody that's seen that video knows the story. Anytime you can drive a boat.
Real big thing. A big,
pretty
gigantic, big piece of meat.
And a pretty good drummer, too.
I wonder if he could drum with it.
I'm sure. I'll bet he has.
Easily. Just jump up and down.
Now, this is terribly gay, but do you think Tommy Lee is big enough that he could play the bass drum? I mean, the one that you use the foot pedal
for? Yeah, I think so.
Uh-huh. Do you think he could do that?
It might hurt him pretty bad if he hit the rim.
Well,
it depends on how his stool was adjusted.
Don's against that.
The Motley Crue is in Canada. Tommy Lee is, you heard the setup. Let's call the guy at Starbucks.
Yeah.
Okay. This guy works at Starbucks in a cover band. They play a lot of Motley Crue, and at the last minute, they tap this guy to sub for Tommy, who had tendonitis, and all of a sudden, the star is born.
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry, I have to concentrate.
I'm really impressed because... Oh, I'm sorry.
Quiet.
Yes.
Hey, guys, come on.
Guys.
Trying to dial.
Over the line.
There we go.
What, you got a new policy now? Is that
what you're doing? The engineers were telling me that a lot of times when you dial out and you're speaking on the microphone, that's why a lot of times we get like wrong numbers, because our voices influence...
They blend with the notes.
All that stuff.
Well, then tell the engineers my job of 20 years has been drastically altered and to fix that, because that's what I do. I'm supposed to talk when you're dialing.
Mike, I'm working on it.
Jeez, those guys. Every day
I'm working on it. I'm working on it from my standpoint to find a way for that to happen. But right now, hello, Harvey.
Yes.
Harvey, this is Don and Mike, and you're on the air. How are you, dude?
I'm wonderful. And yourself?
We are doing very, very well. Welcome to our radio show. I think we've told the story accurately that you're a manager at a Starbucks.
I'm actually at work as we speak.
You're pouring lattes today.
I just finished, yeah.
Very good. And, you know, this is pretty Cinderella, rags to riches, the whole thing. You got tapped to sub for Tommy Lee. That had to be one of the great experiences of your life.
Yeah, well, it totally was, and it hasn't sunk in until the last 24 hours.
Wow. Cool. Now, did you get laid?
No.
You did.
Oh, bummer.
You did not get laid. Did you get high? Did you get drunk?
Nothing, even. Actually, there was the first night when I was there, the rest of the guys, which I didn't find out till later, were all told not to give me any coronas or anything like that. So.
Right. So you could have your act together when you were on stage. And you did the whole chart, the whole thing with the band?
I sure did.
Oh, man.
So realistically, cool. If you could, I know you've told it a million times, but if you've just got a second, tell us again. How it happens.
Yeah, walk us through the whole thing.
You're at Starbucks or wherever you are, and you get a call to play with Motley, in essence, with Motley Crue.
Yeah, I want to find out how they found you, how everything worked.
Well, first of all, he called me. It was a local promoter that called me because I'm in another band also called Nighthawk, and it's an original band, and we had just did a huge CD release party the week before.
Okay, so you're obviously a successful musician. You might be local. You haven't broken out, nationwide yet, but you're a successful local musician.
Yeah, I'm quite a good self-promoter in my own city here. So
okay.
The people that know that are looking for a musician, they know who I am. So.
Okay.
So they had that part of it, and it was a local promoter from the House of Blues, and there was a buddy of mine that comes in all the time that works at a drum shop that was just a check for the show, and when they were looking for a drummer, he recommended me, so the local promoter called me and said, hey, at the time they were telling me that we were going to do a practical joke on Motley Crue. Would I be interested in coming up to the show, because it's about an hour and a half away from my city, and I was like, yeah, okay, and they go, well, I thought it was one of the local radio guys playing a trick on me because they all know I'm a big Motley Crue fan.
Hey, Harvey?
Yes.
Hey, Harvey, hold on. I'm about to break into the question. How come you guys at Starbucks, you know those that like gingerbread that people love so much during the holidays? How come you don't sell that year-round?
I have gingerbread at my store if you want to come up.
He's got the gingerbread at his store.
And what about the peppermint? Do you have the peppermint syrup?
I have peppermint all year-round. Peppermint and gingerbread are now available all year-round.
Year-round. Okay. Well, I'm a big Starbucks fan.
Obviously.
So anyway, you're there. You're there. They know it's you. You think it's a joke.
When did you find out it wasn't a practical joke?
Well, they said, okay, the guy we got your number from will call you to let you know this is real.
Uh-huh.
So before my buddy calls me, Motley's management called me and said, listen, we don't got time to screw around. It's real. How well do you know the material? And you're going to be playing anywhere from 2 songs to 2 hours.
Jesus, so why 2 songs? Was it just based on Tommy Lee's health? That's what they were going to base it on?
It was the first time that they were even thinking about having Tommy not play.
Wow.
So he was at the hospital at the time, and they were talking to me, and they didn't know if I'd get all the way there and nothing would happen, or if I'd get there and I'd have to play the whole show.
How big was the venue? How big was the hall?
It was like 8,000 people.
8,000 people, so you get there, cool. And how much did you get to play?
I played the entire show.
The whole set. Congratulations.
How many songs were in the set?
We did, it was about 2 hours worth, so. With a little intermission and all that kind of stuff. Like,
now,
20 plus songs?
All right, now you're in a cover band, so you go out there and you do your thing. But this is the real big time, or as big time as you're ever going to get. I'd be curious to know, what did you wear? I mean, did you think that you had to wear like goddamn leather pants, or did you just wear your regular Levi's? What did you wear?
No, well, with the pyro that they have, it's like 200 degrees on stage, and so Tommy, I took a ton of stuff. Tommy recommended I just wear a pair of shorts, and I always play with no shirt anyway because it's too hot. So
you play without a shirt on anyway?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see his penis?
You know what? You're not the first to ask, but I think he saw me naked. I didn't see him naked.
So what was the biggest surprise to you when you played with him? What was something you didn't see coming? Was there anything that surprised you, or was it pretty much what you expected?
Just because I didn't know where all the pyro hits were, so you'd have to, like, I got through it, but just spontaneously there'd be a large explosion about a foot away from me, and crap out of me.
That's great. Was it then, like most people think, was it like the greatest thing you've ever done?
With music, for sure.
Oh, that's fantastic.
How do you go back? How do you go from playing a show with 8,000 people to working at Starbucks the next day? I mean,
I don't know. It's what I've always done. I've always played and had a job, so it just seems normal to me. But I was with the guys last night, and Tommy played the second last night of the tour, and his buddy is up from L.A. as well. So the three of us, Tommy did the drum solo, and I don't know, we hung out all night. And it's the first time I got to see the show from the front of house for the most part, and that's when it really sank in. Like, I can't believe I just played that show.
Now, would they, if Tommy's wrist is bothering him again, were you well received by the band? Did they say that if something goes, goes wrong again, they might tap you again to replace Tommy Lee?
Well, they had Will there as well, which is Tommy Lee's drummer from a solo band.
Okay.
So he had come up for the weekend, the party as well, so the three of us were there, so anybody could have played at any time, and Will played quite a bit last night, so it was just a
Will you now be a troubled rocker? Because Tommy is a troubled rocker. Will you be a troubled rocker?
No, I got it together.
Got it together? Good. And, is your music with your original band, is it similar to Motley Crue kind of stuff?
It's actually quite, I don't know if I want to say Nickelback-ish, because we recorded at Chad's house. So our original project is just released now in Canada under my own label. Like, it's just all independent release, but you can see us online at www.1900band.com.
1900band.com?
Yeah, and now I'm actually working with Starbucks about maybe putting it out on the Starbucks label.
Cool.
Oh, you know, you should.
That's absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. Frank, they sell stuff. You guys sell that stuff all the time.
Yeah, the Hear Music label is out of California, so I'm working on that right now.
What's the deal with those muffins?
Good. Yeah, let's get some Starbucks questions.
Now, are those like mass produced somewhere, and then you just like every morning they show up, or do you, what's the deal? They look.
Each region has their own bakery.
They
so
look so tasty.
We just have one bakery that does all Calgary.
They look so tasty.
Now you obviously have been with Starbucks a long time. Do you?
I haven't actually. I just started. I worked for a restaurant for 20 years.
You're so knowledgeable in the area of Starbucks. I think it's fantastic.
You can't say that on American radio. But you said it's the art of BSing. You use the S word. Speaking of BS, this would be possibly my only complaint about Starbucks. I still feel gay when I have to stand up there and say, "I'll have the grande."
You mean the size? The size.
Why can't we just go back to large, extra large, medium, small?
Then we wouldn't be original.
And how do Canadians find those names for sizes?
I don't know. They seem to be fine.
Okay. All right. That's good. And are you? It sounds like you jumping right now. Are there a lot of people in there?
No, we got about two or three people in line right now.
All right, Harvey. Well, then we'll only keep you for another 30 seconds. Here's your chance to win a prize valued at $100 American if you can name this famous Canadian. Robbie, put 30 seconds on the clock, please.
Okay.
And we're going to play a cut of. This is not a joke. He's possibly the most famous Canadian in America. He lives in America. Here is the Canadian. Now, do you need to hear it again?
Yeah.
Okay, here it is again.
I don't know.
Hold on, you've still got 15 seconds. Would you like to hear him again?
One more time.
The most famous Canadian ever.
I don't know.
He's from Thunder Bay.
Budgers gave you a clue. What was the clue, Buzz?
He's from Thunder Bay. Ontario. Harvey, would you like one more hint?
Yeah.
He is also in your field. And I won't say whether it's coffee or music.
No, I'm sorry.
I don't know.
That's unfortunate.
Oh, look at that. The $100. The $100 gift certificate to scatlovers.com goes back in the hopper because you didn't know it's Paul Schaefer.
Paul Schaefer, Harvey.
Yeah, I was going to say Paul Schaefer.
You should have.
A famous Canadian barista.
Well, you're a lucky guy, Harvey, and you're a nice guy, too. Sounds like you enjoyed your moment of fame.
I did. I'm at 14 minutes and 59 seconds right now.
There you go. Well, gotcha. And then when your band hits, maybe it'll be longer.
Yeah. All right, guys.
All right, nice talking to you, man.
Thank you.
See you later.
Cool.
Bye-bye.
Like that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad we tracked him down.
He's got a good personality, and you know, that's all those Motley Crue guys. You know, whether they're doing the drugs or not, they all have a good personality.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. And the guy wasn't a dick.
No.
Okay, nice talking to him.
Hey, man, listen, when you show up for the gig, don't worry about wearing anything. Just shorts and no shirt. Which is how we do our show here.
Now, getting back to the website with celebrities where you put your picture in.
Right.
Johnny, Yanni Norman took our old producer, Beth Ann McBride.
Oh, good.
And took her, now is this her publicity picture?
This will be,
it's got to be the publicity picture.
Must right. Be. Yeah.
This is just.
The one that's curling on your wall.
Oh, yeah, we have a picture of Beth Ann that's held up by one little sticky post-it thing.
Right.
And the thing, because it's so hot in our office.
Humid, yeah. Right.
The picture is actually folding on the sides like the Declaration of Independence.
Sure.
Or like one of those big things that Moses brought down from the top of the mountaintop.
Well, underneath the floor in our office is enriched uranium.
Here you go, Beth Ann.
The richest guy.
The top four celebrity lookalikes were Beth Ann McBride, yay, our beloved departed producer.
Very good.
Uh-huh. Elizabeth Taylor.
Uh-huh. Of course.
Yeah.
Young Elizabeth Taylor.
Well,
okay, well, medium.
Here's one you're not going to. Eva Longoria.
Of course.
Right. On the planet backwards.
Explains my attraction.
Hi, welcome to Planet Backwards.
Bizarro.
Here's Beth Ann McBride, mm-hmm, star of the Ocean. That's cruel.
Eva Longoria in corduroys.
That's just cruel.
Golden.
Number two is Christina Aguilera.
Yes, I've always thought so.
And number one is Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore. Huh. We've always been her biggest fans.
Well,
Lionel, maybe.
I think
Lionel Barrymore. They'd run you out of town on a rail.
Hey, welcome to the radio.
Yeah, push me up.
All right, so thanks to the guy at Starbucks. Wow. And, thanks to Yanni for putting that on the website.
Now, that's the Canadian one that has your peppermint, your gingerbread. Are they going to have that at your regular store now? Or?
God, I hope so. Mm-hmm. I hope so. I live for that peppermint. That peppermint syrup that you put in the coffee,
right,
because they sell the mocha powder,
right,
and at home you can make like your own Starbucks stuff, but they like guard it like it's secret stuff. When mm-hmm, I go to Starbucks and go, do you have the peppermint syrup? And they go, oh, no, only at Christmas time. Meanwhile, we have people that call the show and say, you know,
duh, I work at Starbucks, they get it there all the time.
Right. Got it there, come on.
Can't find it.
Maybe he'll bring the syrup when they attack.
Oh, yes, the Canadians massing on the border, right?
When Canadians attack. Oh, Tards in the news.
Oh, boy.
Tards in the news.
Oh, boy.
He's mentally retarded.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
There you go, boom.
You know, I didn't understand that. I'm sorry.
He's mentally
retarded.
He's mentally retarded.
All righty. I'm Al Franken, and I'm covering this convention.
Yeah.
And are you having a good time?
Yeah.
Who have you talked to so far?
Bouillon. Maya.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. It was really nice talking to you. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
I think it's fabulous.
Can
I shake your hand?
He's mentally retarded.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Mentally retarded.
Oh, I know that guy from Meet the Press. I think I'm going to go... Excuse me, sir. Oh. Huh. Yeah, wait a minute. Excuse me, sir. Are you Tim? Excuse me. Are you Tim from Meet the Press?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, I get to see you.
I'm Ronnie. I see Meet the Press a couple of times.
You ever see Face the Nation? Bob Schieffer's right here.
Oh, Bob Schieffer from CBS. Hey, Bob, nice to see you. I seen you on CBS.
We didn't go on air in 1 minute.
Oh. All right. Yeah.
He's mentally retarded.
Right.
having their program every day is a luxury. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, don't you forget that. Listen, happy almost Easter tomorrow. Tom, Pete and Cotton Tar, Tom will be dressed as the Free Money Bunny.
Yes, he will be wearing the costume and he'll be doling out cash for kisses.
Thomas Aloysius Gavin, that'll be tomorrow. In front of the radio station. And about retards.
He's mentally retarded.
The people last night on American Idol, not the singers, the families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had the little tributes all the time too. They did a lot of the tributes from the and also the different friends and everything, not just in the audience but on TV.
There's got to be a new classification of people, because there's been the stamp of white trash. And white trash is defined, for instance, last night as Kelly Pickler's grandpa and the little boy that I'll refer to as Forrest Gump. Mm-hmm. Because when he said, the grandpa says, "Go, Kelly, you love her." And he says just like, "Run, Forrest, run."
They were all filling up and they're all getting emotional. It was a big part of the show last night.
These people are pure white trash. Mm-hmm. Now, with no offense to any of our African-American friends, mm-hmm. you like how I threw that in instead of colored this time?
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that all of the black people on the show were as white trashy as the white trashy people were.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, is it Paris's mom and grandma?
Yes.
That were on the... I'm on the phone with Rob.
Right.
And I said, I swear to God, Paris's grandmother is the whitest black trash. I said there is a mixing, a merging today of the races on this show,
mm-hmm.
where you simply can no longer say white trash.
No.
And you cannot
say... So you're saying everybody on the show was white trash last night.
However, to call it white trash mm-hmm. is an insult to brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
They're all simply human trash. Because the families,
yeah,
be they white, be they black, mm-hmm. be they totally inbred like Kelly Pickler's parents, at least they think they're sophisticated like Ace's parents.
Right.
Or the guy, the white guy with the bad toupee who's sitting in front,
sure.
front of the mantle in his home. You know,
right.
We're all so proud of you here in Butt Scratch, Arkansas.
And then they cut to the contestants and they're all crying.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all sharing the same snot rag last night.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's as Kelly Pickler labeled it, a snot rag.
I found the best part of the show really to be the little snippets of the family. And the one mom, is it Elliot? Is that the guy that I hate so
Elliot,
much?
Yeah, I mean,
you mean the mom that looked like she had her head on a stick?
Yeah, the singer named Elliot. Not to be confused with the disc jockey.
Ah, right.
And I know that the eagle doesn't hunt flies, but I got to tell you something funny about that. And this guy, the local disc jockey that we've talked about before, who is just in love with this show.
Mm-hmm.
The other day I said, you know, just stop bragging about us. And, you know, we don't care about you. You're insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some would say, well, you're giving him what you want by talking about it. But I just have to tell you an interesting fact, that I got a call from a good friend of mine, good friend of Frieda's, Marilyn Thompson,
mm-hmm.
who used to work at Mix 107 and a bunch of other radio stations. Marilyn is still one of my closest friends. As a matter of fact, when I first met Frieda, at least in my mind, I had a choice of either Marilyn or Frieda.
Mm-hmm.
They were both there together, available at this event.
Oh.
And I chose, you know, good. I'm sure if Marilyn's listening now, she's thrilled that, you know, there's a possibility that I may have plucked her out to be Miss Lucky.
If she had chosen you.
Well, why wouldn't she?
Exactly.
Why wouldn't she? Anyway, she called and left me a message that I would play, but you have to get someone's permission to play the message on the air.
Right.
She calls with a variety of things, and at the very end, because she's worked in radio and she still does freelance work, she said, oh, yeah, also, she said, so-and-so said to say hello to you, and I hope we can talk real soon, and let's get together, and I talked to your mother-in-law, and I hope you're doing good. And, oh, yes, Elliot Siegel called me and wants your home phone number. And I don't give out your home phone number to anybody, so I just thought I'd let you know. So, you know, listen, dude, if you're listening to the show, and you obviously you are now, and you're calling other people in the radio industry, if you want to call me during the show, or call me in the office before, I'm like Ken Beatrice, call me on the show before the office.
Mm-hmm.
Or call me in the office before the show. I said
Ken Beatrice would stay in his office after his show.
Yeah.
And he was on at night. So he was a little more obsessive that way. But,
what was great about this guy, Ken Beatriz, was...
If you don't get your question in, please call me in the office. And I was told that he would take calls in the office. I mean, late.
And, talking about losers, there would be people who would be on hold. This was a guy that did a sports talk show back in the day on an AM station. Mm-hmm. Back before there was sports radio. Mm-hmm. So he was one of a kind. And people who would be online to talk to him, his show was like from 7 till 10. He would say, all right, let's see. We've got Bobby and Tom and Buzz and Rob and Joey. You know what? I'm not going to get to your calls on the air, but if you'll all wait, I will be glad to speak with each of you off the air.
Which really, at the end of doing a broadcast, I can't really think of... That was part of his work ethic.
Man. So can you imagine that? You're on hold to call a radio show. The guy goes off the air because they're going to go like to All News Radio or whatever they go to at 10 o'clock. And he's just sitting in an empty studio, not even on the radio. Yeah. Like picking up the cell.
Right.
Hi, you were on hold.
I agree. I think the Orioles need a new pitcher. I really, you know, and he'd just go on and on and on.
So anyway, to Elliot Siegel, you know, hey, dude, it's called Unlisted, okay? But look it up in the directory. And again, you know, if you really want to talk, don't be calling people behind the scenes like friends like Marilyn and third parties. Call the request line one day.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening. You got something you want to say to me. Just call it up. Call me up and say it on the radio.
Bingo, baby!
That's it. Okay, let's see. Oh, tomorrow I mentioned Tom will be on the show, American Idol. I think we talked about the families. Now it's time for some TARD news.
He's mentally retarded.
TARD news. Did you hear, we played the tape the other day of Tiger Woods saying this at the Masters. Here's Tiger, that was this him saying it or the apology?
This is him saying it.
Here's Tiger Woods, where he calls himself a spaz. You know, BFD, but hold on, bear with me on this.
I putted atrociously today. As good as I hit it, that's as bad as I putted today. And it was frustrating because I felt so in control of my golf ball from tee to green. And once I got on the green, and I was a spaz.
All right, so that's Tiger Woods. And you hear that, and you think, now, in this day and age, what's offensive about that?
I wouldn't think that that would be offensive.
Mike, it is. The people for... The ADAPT, the American Disabled for Attendant Programs Today, is America's biggest grassroots disabled people rights group.
Mm-hmm.
They say spaz is one of their top 10 most offensive words that you can use when you're talking about a TARD.
They know 10?
Now, do we have Tiger's apology? Because they made him apologize.
He issued it through a spokesman.
Here's what he says, and then I'm going to go, because they're nice enough, when they send out the press release to say that Tiger Woods called this guy a spaz, and we find it, on behalf of all retarded people, we find this to be awful, and we want him to apologize. So Tiger Woods apologized, and they send us a thing that's got Tiger Woods' apology, and then they send us a list of the top 10 words that they don't
the
like.
Words?
Wow,
yeah.
Okay. A pencil.
So first, here's Tiger's apology. He did it through his agent, Mark Steinberg.
Mm-hmm.
He said... Tiger meant nothing derogatory to any person or persons and apologizes for any offense caused. Apparently, now I'm going to talk here about ADAPT, the American Disabled for Attendant Programs Today. This group...
What is the organization?
The Philadelphia branch of ADAPT, American Disabled for Attendant Programs Today. I know it doesn't make
a
lot of sense.
It's a tough one right
spells
there.
Spells ADAPT.
It's a gigantic grassroots.
It does spell ADAPT. Yeah. Right.
A gigantic grassroots group. They're upset. They sent out a press release saying people use the word spaz all the time. It's wrong. Because spaz means spastic. So in their mind, if you say spaz, you're talking about somebody with cerebral palsy.
Right.
That's the way that they have
defined it. That's how they interpret
it.
Okay.
So now here's the worst thing they could have done. They sent along in the press release the top 10 most hurtful things that you can call somebody who's retarded.
This is similar to what it almost sounds like the George Carlin thing.
Now,
when he came out with the words.
But you're going to be surprised. Let me see. At number 10 you have wheelchair bound.
That's a bad one. You see that. What's interesting about that, you see that in, like, news stories.
Number 9, handicapped.
People don't like that.
Yeah, I guess.
Or this group doesn't like that.
Specifically talking about...
He's mentally retarded.
Okay.
Okay, talking about TARDs. Psycho. Number eight, bad word.
We've certainly heard that word on this show a lot.
Number seven, one of my favorites, cripple.
Mm-hmm. I knew that one. That one I knew.
Here's one. It's number six, brave. Don't like brave. Number five.
Well, they don't like brave because what, they think
Mike,
it's
I'm
diminishing.
Just, I'm just reading you the list.
All right.
Number five, special.
But, like, the special.
He's mentally retarded.
I had the whole discussion. You know what this is like? This is like when I first found this and I called Rob and talked about
right?
it. You're saying the same things Rob said.
That's why we don't have those discussions off air.
We are trying to get somebody from this group. Obviously, they don't want to come on the air with us and talk about this.
Right.
Okay, then they don't like special.
Uh-huh.
Here's the rest. Now we're moving up to the big ones. At number 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. At number 4, we have Mong, which of course is slang for Mongoloid.
Okay, all right.
Hey, you Mong.
Never heard of that one.
At number 3, this is a brand new one we've never heard before, window licker.
Oh, God.
He's mentally retarded.
I have never heard that in my life.
We would never have come up with this. No right. matter how many beers we drank, no matter how much vodka we drank.
Wouldn't have thought of that.
We wouldn't sit around one night and go, hey, look at that goddamn window licker.
No, never heard that in my life.
But now we got a new one.
Ever.
Number two is spaz.
So it's like their number two word.
Yeah, and of course number one is retard, which is like to them is like the N-word.
Right.
So it's like it's retard and then spaz.
And then window licker.
Window licker.
I have never heard window licker in my life.
So your top 10 from top to bottom, that would be retard, spaz, window licker, mong, special, brave, cripple, psycho, handicapped, and wheelchair bound.
Wheelchair bound might be my biggest surprise.
That's
and brave is another surprise. Yeah. So they say if you say the brave young man, if they're saying if somebody
down.
In that condition, you know, why call him brave just because he's a
or
good thing.
Or you say he's special.
Anything that separates them from
but
the rest
thing
of society.
But the thing that's great is that they sent out the list, and hold on a second, window licker.
Window licker.
That's a winner.
I think like any list, it is a subjective list, and it is a... I don't know the organization. Yeah. I've never heard of the organization, and I wonder if the larger organizations are on the same page with that.
Well, I think they have a hard time probably getting together. Can you imagine the convention for retarded people
with the list of
no,
words?
What I mean is, first off, they'd all be at different hotels.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be at the right hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There'd be busloads of window lickers driving.
Window lickers, there you go.
The windows would be spotless.
Right.
The window lickers.
Never heard that.
Now, we would not have known that in a million goddamn years.
No way. No way.
Not in 1 billion years. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I've got a comment about the tard word.
Yes.
Yeah, I just, they forgot waterhead and ham-faced chicken tomato head.
Okay, now everybody's going
to
call.
Now everybody wants to play.
Bye!
Okay.
People like to make up their own, apparently. I believe those were homemade words.
Let's just stick with the top 10. Mm-hmm. Let's just stick with, window licker has got to be
that I've never
the new
heard
gold
of.
Standard.
Never heard of that.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don?
Yeah.
How about airplane watcher?
Okay, how about...
Bye!
Everybody just chill out and let's just go with window licker. I like window licker.
That's an interesting one.
That, to me, seems to be one that has some panache.
Never heard of it.
It's got a little sizzle to it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look at that window licker.
And you know, if we haven't heard of it, you would think that we have heard it all on this show. And I'd like to know who in the organization, you know, identified
I've
that
never
one.
Heard of it. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Window licker, that's an old Midwest phrase.
Explain, please.
I'm from the Midwest. I haven't heard it.
Where in the Midwest, and exactly what does it, and besides the obvious, licking a window, what does it mean?
And by a show of hands, has anybody ever licked a window in this room? I know I've licked a window in this room.
I think I probably
not
have.
Not in this particular room, but I know that at some point I've licked a window or a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in Michigan, the retards would come into the school on the bus, the little short bus.
Anybody that lived in the 80s, Mike. Licked the mirror. You know what I'm saying?
After
you took it off the wall. You remember those
the go-go
days.
80s?
You remember those go-go 80s?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what? I'm sorry. How did it come about again? Do you know?
Well, All I remember is being in second or third grade in Michigan, and it gets cold in the wintertime, so the retards are on the short bus, they're steaming up the windows, and I can remember seeing them lick the windows as they pulled up in front of the school.
Okay.
We've been using it ever since.
All right, thank you. Let's
Bye! See if
anybody actually knows where the term comes from. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, this is George. I just wanted to tell you that the window licker thing comes from is from when the kids ride the special bus. They lick the windows as they're riding the bus.
Why?
Because they're retarded. That's where it comes from, the window licker.
And it's Midwestern in origin.
I demand proof.
Bye!
I think this deserves maybe another break on the show. I think so. How would you feel about that, Mike? You have that look.
Oh, you know how I feel about that, you know. That's fine.
Well, then, fine. But here's the thing. None of your children, your daughters, blessedly, are both incredibly intelligent. They're not retarded.
Oh, so, yeah, that's right.
So you don't take it personally like the Dakota thing?
No, I don't.
Window licker. Come on.
Come on,
window licker. Come on, window licker.
Come on.
Come on.
20 years, come on.
Hey, you ever lick any windows?
Yes, I have. Here comes the Easter Bunny.
Hey, it's the Easter Bunny.
Yep.
Yay.
Here comes the Easter Bunny.
He calls it the best times.
Yep.
Tom, seriously,
yes.
Tom.
Yes.
Love you long time. Have you ever licked a window?
When I was on the school bus.
Oh, cut it out.
Nah.
You joker.
Now, really, have you ever, Tom?
No.
Okay, good. Good for you, Tom.
Very good, Tom.
Hey, Mike, I got a question for you.
Yes, Tom.
What happened to the crap blues band you were in?
Oh, that's a long time ago, Tom.
I know. That was a long time ago.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
It is no more, Tom.
No more crap blues band?
No, Tom.
No more. Tom, you're very special.
Yes.
You're brave.
Yeah.
And we will see you tomorrow.
At 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock sharp.
In your bunny suit, and we'll have lots of windows for you to lick.
Yep.
Okay, talk to you later.
I got the plastic eggs.
Okay.
Ah, the plastic eggs.
Okay.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, Tom.
See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye. Bye!
Does he have the best timing, or does he not have the best timing?
Unlike Dennis Murphy.
Right now, he's getting to work filling those eggs.
Oh, what's going to be in those eggs?
That's the surprise.
My God.
Thank you for whoever found
a special Oogie surprise.
Before we break, we could tie all this up together. We do have Tiger Woods' apology.
Ah, good.
Okay, so Tiger Woods said the thing, I'm a spaz.
Mm-hmm.
Here's his apology.
Well, first of all, I want to address something. Yeah, here ESPN is trying to f*** me. And you guys are trying to make a controversy. There's not going to be a controversy. I was joking around with one of my friends, and that's it. If you don't like it, you and your families too.
That's not much
now
of
let's
an
talk about the game.
That's not much of an apology.
I'll just pass. I'll just pass.
There you go. All right, you window licker.
I'll just pass.
Hey, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike. This is the Don and Mike Show. They love to make pudding. Don and Mike.
Thank you, Dude Walker. We talked about American Idol, right? Yet,
Bucky Covington.
Bucky got voted off. Bucky. The thing that I finally like again about American Idol.
Yes.
And Ryan Seacrest mentioned this last night to Simon Cowell, that his attitude sucks. And I think Simon Cowell's attitude sucks because all the contestants suck.
Well, Simon, I mean, really, if you look at them and you say, they're doing a horrible job with this Queen song, there's a reason that show is successful, because you've got somebody that will kind of, you know, express what most people are feeling, that are realists, you know, that aren't just going, oh, wow, fantastic.
I really, really, really hated that.
Like that. So you've got, again, last night, you've got this thing going back and forth where, for whatever reason, you know, Ryan Seacrest says something like, you are the world's grumpiest millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says something like, you know,
Ryan Seacrest, who always looks like he's wearing a little boy's suit, like somebody dressed him in the boy's
Buster
department.
Brown. you know, and then he has to throw something out about how Ryan Seacrest is banging Terry Hatcher.
Right.
You know, and it goes back and forth on the American Idol site, which I was on today.
Right.
Because I'm a faggot.
Oh, now you're
homo.
Back. You are all the way back.
No. Friend of mine sent me an email saying you want to go to a site because you want to get a link to the Ryan Seacrest site about Ryan Seacrest being fat.
Oh, wow.
Right. So, well, no, hold on.
Right, the opposite might be true. I think he might be like going into the stall and, you know, purging.
No, I click on the link, and this leads me to something for an upcoming People magazine.
Okay.
Now, the photo that the guy, that my friend forwarded, I can't, you know, I can print it out and bring it in tomorrow.
All right.
It,
okay. Saying,
we can't put it on the web because it's the property of People magazine.
Right.
I guess that the story is that when he was in, I guess, what is like 8th and 9th grade?
Middle school, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, how old are you
13,
then?
14.
13?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When he was 13, Ryan Seacrest weighed 180 pounds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And
he's a little guy, so that was probably fat.
And my friend who works at Time Warner, which is the People magazine, they sent me the picture. And it is a funny, funny picture that they're going to run in People magazine.
Well, I'd love to see that.
At some point.
I would think Simon would get his hands on that picture.
Mm-hmm. And, now, isn't this just like Ryan Seacrest or whatever his real name is?
Simon will do the same thing we did to Jim Elliot. Simon will do that. Put the picture up. Get an unflattering picture of a coworker and show it to America as much as you possibly can.
Oh, the star of the week.
Well, you put it in a star.
We put it in a star, yeah. Wasn't it the star of the week, though?
It was the star of the week.
It was the star of the week. Jim Elliot, local disc jockey, who we had fun with, poking fun at. And we knew the guy, and we found an embarrassing photograph of him in some running shorts.
No.
Running suit.
No, he was shirtless.
Oh, that's right.
And he had white pants, and he was standing on the boardwalk in Ocean City.
Oh. Do you agree with me that of that entire television show, that embarrassment that we did, that replacement television show, that was the single greatest thing and single most enjoyable thing we ever did.
And it was something that was only funny to me and Mike.
It was, but well, the picture was funny. I mean,
this was way back in
the day. Anybody that listened to our show at that point would have enjoyed that on the TV show.
We did the Morning Zoo right around the time of Friday Night Videos. Mm-hmm. Remember when not everybody had MTV?
Right.
And you would actually like go home on Friday night and watch NBC to see videos. Mm-hmm. Well, the local CBS station, Channel 9, said to us, hey, you guys did this crazy Morning Zoo show. Why don't we do a video show?
Mm-hmm.
So it was me and Mike doing awful, cheesy stuff, and then we'd like play a Whitney Houston video. Right. But we did get to spotlight.
Talk about guys that were dressed in the boys' department.
We did get to spotlight every week. A little bit we did was the DJ, our star of the week.
Uh-huh.
And we had this picture of Jim Elliot, who was the midday guy. And
we had competed against him like right at the beginning when he did the morning show. So there was always that friction. There was always that competitive nature even after he came over to our radio station.
Because if you remember, when we would go on vacation, and even back then, Mike and I were king of the vacation. We would be on vacation and they would have Jim Elliot, who had been a disc jockey in D.C. much longer than us.
Right.
And used to have a morning show. Mm-hmm. In fact, the first morning show that Mike and I demolished was Elliot and Woodside.
Well, that's the one we targeted.
So, and we did all the stuff to them, all the bad stuff, like sent them black roses and sent them empty suitcases on the days that the ratings came out.
Sure.
We actually sent Elliot Woodside suitcases so that when they got to the studio at 6 in the morning, they would see that there were suitcases there. And they go, well, what are your suitcases? Well, of course, because you're going to get fired today because your ratings are so bad. We also would send them sympathy cards. We would overnight courier them sympathy cards.
All the games.
So when they
games
arrive,
people play.
When they arrive at 6 o'clock in the morning, it would be like, oh, look, here's a special letter for me. What? Oh, it's a sympathy card from Don and Mike.
Yes.
So eventually the guy comes to work at our station doing middays.
Joins the team.
And whenever we would go on vacation, they would have him on in the morning because he had been on in the morning years before.
Right.
And invariably, every time it would be something like this. Mike, you be Jim Elliot, and I'll be whoever the caller is.
Power 105 WAVA. This is Jim Elliot. Hi. How are you? Who's on the line?
Hi, Jim. My name is Zena, and I just want to say, I really love you in the morning. I wish that Don and Mike would just never come back because I love you in the morning.
Oh, thank you. No, they're fine. They're terrific, really. But I thank you and I appreciate the call.
But, Jim, if you were on in the morning, you know, all Don and Mike do is talk, talk, talk. Jim, would you play that brand new song by Bobby McFerrin?
It would be a pleasure. Thanks for the kind words. Anything else?
Why are Don and Mike still working here? Because you're so great, Jim, when you do the morning show.
No, now listen, Don and Mike are just fine. And they're coming back soon. I won't tell you exactly when, though. This is Jim Elliott on Power 105 WAVA. Really, that's the way he played it. He wouldn't really you would think if you were going to cover it, you would just eliminate the calls.
Right.
No, he didn't do that. Thanks so much for the kind words.
So then the guy was working at our station.
And I believe we went down to do a broadcast from Ocean City, and that's where that picture was taken.
Because you remember he went down to see a special friend of his.
He did. He came down later on, and somehow we got the pictures.
Yeah, so we got this picture of him standing on the beach, like posing like Superman. Uh-huh. And it's just
got a towel around his neck and no shirt on. And
flabby mitts.
And tight white pants.
And just he's got the curly long hair. And it's a beautiful thing on Channel 9 for about 1 minute. All it was on CBS TV, at least locally CBS TV,
right,
was a big picture of Jim Elliott without his shirt on.
And we put the star inside a star, and it was the star of the week.
And it was like Jerry Todd video. I mean, right, the lowest quality, like something that you would do in a high school audio video class.
It was so much fun. That was the only thing that was really good on the whole show, in my opinion.
And we later became friends with Jim Elliott, but we had a lot of battles with him along the way.
Right.
Like, for instance, we outed him on this, that we all used to do live commercials for Nutrisystem.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Elliott would be doing a live commercial for Nutrisystem right after he got done eating bags of candy.
Or pizza. Uh-huh.
Now, the pizza is the best ever, though.
Right.
The pizza. Now, listen, we're pigs now. We were giant pigs back when we did a morning show.
Yep.
And we always had food coming in. We had real, dinner food coming in at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So we would have pizza, we would have steaks, we would have the Chinese place open up early. One day we had lots of pizza, and we were all full, and we threw the pizza away in the newsroom, which, just like our setup here, Buzz, mm-hmm, was Mike and I in the main studio.
Right.
David Haynes, our news guy, was in the other room, just like you are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we took the garbage, and we took the pizza, put it in the garbage in the newsroom.
Right.
It's now after 10 o'clock.
We were, down the hallway or something. I think it was Frank that alerted us to it, right?
Mike and I are off the air. Our show is over.
Frank says, you got to see this.
Yeah, yeah. Frank says, you got to come back. So we go back by the airlock door.
Uh-huh.
And it's the three of us, like little mice, with our ears coming out a little bit. You just barely see our big ears. And our eyes are just so big because we see Jim Elliott.
Mm-hmm.
Really. Now, technically, after all these years, I will cut him this much slack.
Right.
The pizza was in the garbage. But it was in the box.
It was in the box.
In the garbage. You know, a thing that was done.
And let's bury that.
A thing that was done years later on Seinfeld, where George picked up a piece of pastry out of the garbage as some hot chick is coming around the corner at a party. So anyway, we're all standing behind this door. We're standing behind this door, and we are watching Jim Elliott eat pizza out of the garbage. And then he's going in the next break and doing a commercial going, hey, it's Jim Elliott for Nutrisystem.
I'm doing so well on Nutrisystem.
I've lost so much weight.
They let you eat anything you want.
So then the next day, the whole show was just Jim Elliott eats pizza out of the garbage.
Yeah, he didn't like that too much.
Jim Elliott eats. Did you find that tape? Are you looking for that?
I couldn't find it. We may have retired it to my basement.
We have a tape of Jim Elliott 1 year calling up the show for one of our anniversaries.
Right.
And it's like, hey, Don and Mike, it's Jim Elliott. Thanks for all the great years together.
Was that when he was with Arista?
Yeah, he was the vice president of a record company. He got out of radio.
Bury that.
And about the pizza and the garbage.
Let's bury that.
Let's bury that.
And obviously, we got shovels out today.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Jim.
And will again.
It's just a little joke.
Sorry, Jim. And let's not forget.
We didn't need the pizza out of the garbage.
There's one more real good Jim Elliott story. Right after Robbie started working with us,
mm-hmm,
this is 12 years ago, we were at a radio function, and I said to Rob, because Rob's a radiophile,
right,
I said, do you want to meet Jim Elliott? Rob was like, oh yes, please, could I? You know, so I bring them together.
It was a great moment.
And I introduce them, and I leave them, and Rob looks like a teenager in love.
He's happy.
And The next day he says, wow, I had such a great time with Jim Elliot. Except he did this thing when we were going down to the garage.
To make love.
To his room.
Now, what is this that he said to you? Because
how did that work?
This is typical Jim Elliot.
He stayed with him and talked to him for a long time and had quite a few drinks with him. And then when it was time to part company, he was leaving. And he said loud enough for everyone to hear, now. Where is my $60,000 automobile?
That was him.
Yeah.
He was kind of a bigger than life guy.
I remember as a WAVA listener.
Have the cream spinach guy.
Oh, yes, it's the best, the cream spinach. Yeah.
As it progressed for a few days after he ate pizza out of the garbage, it got to be a bit where he would come in driving a garbage truck.
We had a sound effect of a garbage truck.
Oh, God.
And the thing is,
children.
We would bust his balls for 4 hours.
We still are.
And the guy would take the high road.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah. He'd come on at 10, like, we haven't been talking about him eating pizza 4 hours.
Right.
Hour 105, good morning. Who's ready for some music?
It ended nice. If we saw him today, we are still friends. We really are. He's a nice guy.
I chat with him not often, but once a year or so, I still get the obligatory call, or I call him.
Good.
Listen. Yesterday I mentioned that couple that I'm sure you've seen the story now, but I mentioned it yesterday, the people in Kansas City, a suburb of Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
the people that pretended that they had the 6 babies.
Right, they had baby bottles all over the house and everything.
Right, and they got all the money from the people with the websites and everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw it this morning, at least on Good Morning America, they had these people. And again, they could have been Kelly Pickler's aunts or uncles or whatever, because it's the guy. And he's looking right into the camera, the guy that perpetuated this, the guy who said he impregnated his wife, and that they had 6 children, and they really needed money for the kids. And the kids had exotic names like Zachary and stuff like that.
Right.
The guy is just as white trashy as can be and says, we just really like to apologize. We just did it because we needed to pay our bills. That's the way things are now in America. We really need to apologize.
Okay, so you apologize like that?
It's America's fault.
Well, kind of guy, you might wonder the kind of guy that would perpetrate that kind of thing. No surprise there.
Right. Anyway, too great. I just had to mention that. Oh, and did you know this? Oh, I know you know this, Mike, but not everybody did.
Okay.
I'll just set this up for tomorrow. Sean Connery is going to announce his retirement from movies. Now, here's a guy. I applaud this. On one hand, I'm going to miss Sean Connery.
Right. Yeah, and he still, I think, is capable of making movies.
Mm-hmm. But the deal is, I was reading on a website, he's going to quit in June, and the thing that pushed him over the edge was when he signed up to be in the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
That's right. Okay.
This is what's making him quit being a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
He was offered The Matrix.
Right.
And he turned it down because he didn't understand it.
Okay.
He was offered another fantastic movie afterwards,
mm-hmm.
again, a movie, a concept film that he didn't understand, like The Matrix.
I've watched The Matrix. I might be with him on that one.
There's an article. God, I wish I could find. No, it's not Brokeback Mountain Jack, you joke, man. There's an article where he says the two biggest mistakes that he turned down The Matrix.
Sure, I draw the line.
Some other big movie. So he's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Right.
This one.
That was a pretty weird one, too.
He doesn't understand it, but he takes it because he thinks it's going to be like The Matrix.
Right.
Turns out it's like one of the biggest flops of all time. Loses the
studio.
So he
says he doesn't understand that one either.
Yeah, right. And now he says every script that he gets, he doesn't understand.
He says he can't pick movies anymore.
So
that's honest.
Sean Connery now says he's quitting.
Right.
And there's lots of sites, lots of people are saying that allegedly Harrison Ford is going to do this another Indiana Jones movie.
Right.
And they had tentatively signed Sean Connery again to play Indiana Jones' dad.
Yeah.
And now I guess this is throwing another monkey wrench into the whole Indiana Jones thing.
Sure.
And Mike?
He also turned down Fat Girls. He didn't understand Monique.
Mike, I know that if Sean Connery were to be here,
right,
and he might be here on tomorrow's show,
there's a possibility he might be in the neighborhood
to discuss this,
right?
What do you think he might say?
I'm turning down Fat Girls.
I apologize.
I just don't understand Monique.
That is like the worst setup I've ever given you.
I understand.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, welcome to the Don and Mike Show. Mike, what would Sean Connery say?
I don't understand anything, especially this show. And I'm going to throw you out the window. I said no to beach warmers.
Bench warmers. Bench warmers.
Sorry, I can't read.
That's the...
I need my special specs to read that.
That's the David Spade movie, right?
Bench warmers.
I think... And all your favorites? Isn't Lovitz in that?
Lovitz is in that, yeah.
I just wish I'd done Joe Dirt.
More tomorrow.
Okay, more tomorrow. But I just want to make sure we got that in.
Wow. Isn't it a little sad, though? It's kind of sad.
No, it's sad,
but it is honest.
On the other hand, you know, and I went back and forth on this because I'm a Sean Connery fan, not a diehard, but a fan. You know, I thought, on one hand, there's Gene Hackman, who really does any movie that comes out.
Yeah, he does.
There's Denzel Washington, that does any movie that comes out. There's Sam Jackson, does any movie that comes out. Here's a guy, finally, that's saying, you know what? And the reason is so great. I don't understand the scripts.
Right. Well, and what he's saying is he basically can't pick them. He can't pick the winners anymore, right? And that's kind of the reason.
He doesn't know what's good and what's bad.
Right, can't tell. He's being honest.
He still doesn't know why The Matrix was popular.
But I still go back to, you know, Untouchables, where I love him.
Yeah.
I love him, and he is that movie. Yeah. He's fantastic in that movie.
Ah, Kevin Costner. I remember something else we used to do. Field of Dreams. Shop Cheddar. Mike, it's Kevin Costner movies. Play with me, Mike.
Misery. And Gouda.
Kevin Costner's not Misery?
Oh, Kevin Costner. All right, here we are. Dances with Wolves. And Munster.
Bull Durham. And Monterey Jack.
Tin Cup. And Pepper Jack.
Whatever movie he's a broken down baseball player in.
Oh, yeah.
And regular Kraft singles.
No Way Out.
Good one.
And Velveeta. I just took a while to warm up.
Robin Hood. And Pimento.
Maybe reaching the end of the line. This is very difficult for me. I'm out of Kevin Costner movies.
Are you out? The Bodyguard. I didn't get it from Buzz.
Oh, no, that's right.
What do you got, though, Buzz? Say it.
Well, I don't have the voice, though. I'm going to give it to somebody who has the voice.
This is part of it. Do it as Sean Connery.
Waterworld and Breathe.
Waterworld!
He just beat me.
That's a good one.
Boy, and I had one, too. I forgot what it was. Anyway, hello, how are you?
Just fine. Do I still get to come by tomorrow?
Oh, of course.
Good. I'm asking you that question.
Of course you do.
Makes me nervous.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
I had it right.
He made it up.
The Bodyguard. Mm-hmm. And blue cheese.
King of the Costners.
Yay.
Here's one for you.
All right.
A Big Chill. And Monster.
Oh, that's a good one. Was he in The Big Chill?
Played the corpse.
Yes. He was a dead man.
That's right.
Here we go.
Okay.
Silverado.
Good one.
And Swish. Sorry, the cheese wasn't as good. Cheese wasn't as good as the movie.
When you're playing the Sean Connery movie cheese game.
Yeah, the cheeses have to be as good as the movie.
That's right. Absolutely.
So, I mean, I had Silverado, great movie, and then I just punted it with Swiss.
And who doesn't love the Sean Connery cheese game?
It's a wonderful game. Play it at home this weekend.
The Parker Brothers.
You can do it, like, with cars and cheese, too.
The whole family.
My God, well, you know what? Let's not leave it in the locker room.
You can do it with any subject and cheeses, and you can do it with any subject and any food stuff. But it usually has to be things that have been done by artists. Like, for example, you would have to do Beatles albums and breakfast. You would have to do Beatles albums and cold cuts.
Also good. Abbey Road and smoked bologna.
The White Album and olive loaf.
Now, I could go on, but I think that's a winner.
Yeah. Help and pastrami.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And Genoa Salami.
Magical Mystery Tour. Sliced Turkey Breast.
God damn it, I'm out of Beatles albums already, and I should know better. What's wrong with me? But I could go on with meats all day long.
All right. Then I'll do the album, and you do the meat.
Oh, very good.
Rubber sole.
And baked ham.
Sergeant Pepper. Did we have
We already one? Had Sergeant
we
Pepper.
Had let it be.
Let it be. And shaved turkey.
Meet the Beatles.
Meet the Beatles. And pastrami.
Yesterday and today. And now I'm running out of Beatles albums.
Yesterday and today. And Jesus, help me please. I'm going to have to go with smoked ham.
Beatles for sale.
Beatles for sale and corned beef brisket.
I might be out. There are so many of them.
Okay, now I'll accept help. You got one more?
Yeah.
You got one more?
One more.
Oh.
Please, please me.
Please, please me and spiced roast beef. Thank you. We're done. Our work is done here.
See, it's fun, though.
It's the return.
Thank you.
Sean Connery.
Lovely job.
Sean Connery and Food Game.
Yeah, and that's what it should be called, the Sean Connery and Food Game, because you don't want to work Kevin Costner into that.
Kevin Costner. So anyway, how about that? Sean Connery is quitting, and we'll do a couple hours on it tomorrow.
Very good.
Bye.
Here we go with the news and comments. Uh-huh. What are your lead stories tonight, Buzz?
Here's what that'll sound like. A Ford says you'll pay more for gas and like it. One state deals with the problem of unwanted facials, and yes, you can get a 20-ounce soda bottle in there.
Okay.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
It's a dirty little billboard you
have. Right, I'll listen to that. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Krepa?
The Don and Mike Show.
Out of the mouths of tards comes the Don and Mike Show.
He's mentally retarded.
That's window liquors.
That's right, that's the new term.
Window liquors. Oh, gotta open this thing up.
Up, handsome man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
Buzz's new show, Buzz, brought to us tonight by the Visa Business Card. Business takes efficiency. Whether you pay by debit or credit, Visa Business helps you get things done. Your business is your life. Life takes Visa. Now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
Hi.
Hey, you have to admire the corporate cojones. Like when the CEO of one of the cell phone companies told an audience, you didn't expect them to work in your homes, did you? Today's big brass one is going to be found at the Ford Motor Company, which has determined that you and I will gladly pay $4 a gallon for gasoline, even if the price never went back down again.
That's right.
Ford was trying to determine if it should keep making the gas-guzzling SUVs and how to keep the Japanese car makers from kicking its ass again this year.
Oh.
Quoting a Ford spokesman after the consumer study, I don't think our strategy would change too much. Ford could have looked at its own sales figures for the answer. Profits took a major hit at Ford when the company shifted away from SUVs last year.
I find that hard to believe based on the commercial that ran last night during American Idol. Everybody in America just didn't run out and buy a Ford right after just seeing those idiots sing.
Yeah, Ford pours their money into American Idol. They support the singers.
Fix a repair day. F-O-R-D.
In politics...
Found on road dead.
Another good one, too. Right.
In politics, conservative used to mean tight with a dollar, protective of the taxpayer's money. These days, the C word has more to do with conservative morals.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
Anyway, conservative Americans elected a conservative president and a conservative Congress, and today, government spending hit an all-time high.
There's the first one there right there.
Good usage. If you thought we had the crazy
budget... That was a good story, Buzz. I congratulate you on that.
Thank you.
Oh, really,
I'm
seriously.
I'm very proud of it.
Nicely done.
Really. I thank all of you.
Here's something for you. A little something for you, Buzz.
Oh, wait, thank you, Mike.
That is so nice.
very rare that Mike gets a tape and wants to OD on it.
Yeah,
welcome to the club,
one.
Mike.
I'm really being obnoxious with that.
No, today. You're not. No, you're not.
I love it. And I tell you, I was talking to my good friend Joe Arndinger out the hallway. He said, everybody's humming that. Everybody
yes,
is humming that song. That will be in our brains all night.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you thought we had the crazy budget in March of last year, this March it's 14% higher. How much did you spend last month? Your government spent $250 billion in 1 month.
Like Kerry.
And that was $86 billion more dollars than the government had coming in last month. What could possibly go wrong?
That was a better use of it.
That's
right there.
Like where Buzz said.
There you go.
Remember I was talking earlier about.
There's no answer for that.
What could possibly go wrong?
Paul has the answer.
So you're speaking in tongues there, and that's why that ass.
You know what that is? That is a Paul Schaefer rim shot. That is what that is. And I think it helps.
It does.
I really do.
I agree.
As opposed to a Paul Schaefer rim job.
Yo, those are good, too.
It's kind of caused extra.
Hi, David.
Damon.
Now, Americans.
Hey, Paul. Rim me.
Wow, Paul.
Rim me, Paul.
Great job.
Rim me. Where's Alan Calder?
Americans may be weary of...
I'm here to rim you, Dave.
I'm over here, Dave.
Big Red is here.
Waiting for you, Leslie Stahl.
Americans may be weary of the war in Iraq, but many of us are not too weary to bomb Iran. A new survey shows that 48% of us favor military action against Iran if it doesn't abandon its nuclear program. And by military action, they mean bombs, not soldiers.
To quote Jerry Seinfeld, really.
Yes?
Who are these people? Really, at this point...
48%?
At this point, you're calling on people on the telephone doing a survey.
Right.
What... I almost said the real F word. What effing American... Really, looking at what we're going through in Iraq.
You have the textbook case, and didn't we start that with a little bombing, too?
Yeah. I mean, so they call you up and they go, hey, listen, if Iran doesn't play nice, like with the United Nations and show us their nukes, how do you feel? You think we should bomb them?
Hell yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right after I get done eating this booger. Watch the American Idol.
Isn't it about time we have somebody else, let somebody else do it?
Yeah.
I mean, we have Israel over there. Let them do it.
I think given time, somebody else would.
Of course, if Israel's doing it, we're doing it.
That's right. Yeah, Mike, absolutely.
Isn't that what that's all about?
You're right about that. We're good friends with Israel. Haven't you heard that?
I think that if they continue with this destructive behavior, perhaps it would be necessary for Israel to act. It's just one man's opinion.
May I just tell you this, though?
Yes.
Bombs aren't free.
No, they cost more.
Well, some are, some aren't. It depends. You might get one and then pay half price for another one. And, that one would be the best bomb available, consistent with quality.
Oh, this is General Titus at the Pentagon. Get me the general over there with the Israel Army. Hello, General? How the hell are you?
We're fine. We've got some lovely new missiles that we have marked down as final after 30 days.
And, of course, the guy from America would have the cigar in his mouth.
Hello, is this... This is Sergeant Rock. Hurry, freak, to General Hoffman. General Hoffman, are you there?
How are you? What can I do for you?
The United States cannot bomb Iran by ourselves. We think it's time you get off your ass and bomb. What do you say?
I say that we have a lot more negotiating to do before we make that decision. But you go right ahead and smoke your cigar and yell and make all the noise you want. I'm not going to do anything unless we feel that the quality is consistent.
I want to just speak to you as military man to military man.
All right, I'm capable of doing that, Mr. Sergeant Rock, General Rock, whatever your name is, Chris Rock.
Nick Fury.
Sergeant Nick Fury.
Thank you for calling. I have to go.
Iran is just 16 days away from having the bomb, to hear some U.S. government officials tell it. Other sources say Iran is still years away from the bomb. Survey also shows that 54% of us don't think President Bush will make the right decision.
Shocking.
Yeah, that's odd.
A community college in the state of Washington is apologizing today for a math quiz that included a question about Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and a watermelon.
Rob, what were you doing up there?
Math is important.
Quoting the setup, Condoleezza holds a watermelon just over the edge of the 300-foot federal building and tosses it up with a velocity of 20 feet per second.
Ooh-hee.
And then it goes on with the rest of the math question. The question and comments about how racist it is spread like wildfire through emails. Now the Bellevue Community College is apologizing and promising to add racial sensitivity training
Buzz,
to its campus.
You will give me just one moment.
Certainly.
I just sent Rob out to five.
Those were the kind of questions that you were good at in school, right? Those math questions.
Logic questions, yeah.
The word problem.
Right, word problem.
Here now, you found it? Great. Yeah. Here is a tape of that thing you're talking about with Condoleezza Rice. Here
good.
We go. Now they're talking about Condoleezza Rice.
I had a watermelon. I wished 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 I had a watermelon. Oh, I wished for something big. I wished I had a big watermelon. I wished I had a big watermelon. I wished I had a big watermelon.
Hey, you ain't running that way.
I know it, but I will.
It's the racist rascals.
Racial sensitivity, thy name is Little Rascals.
I wish I had a watermelon.
Wish for something bigger.
I wish I had a big watermelon.
Thank you. And that is only 1 million years old.
Uh-huh. One of our hero soldiers, a Marine reservist, was delayed in returning from Iraq because his name appeared on the government's very handy no-fly list. Well, maybe it was his name. Maybe it was the soldier's name that
red
flagged him. Dan Brown.
Oh, no. Dan Brown's on the plane.
Uh-huh. Staff Sergeant Daniel Brown.
Help.
Daniel Brown was blocked from boarding his return flight to Minneapolis because he was on the watch list as a possible terrorist.
Well, what can Brown do for you, Buzz?
Just our way of saying thanks for 8 months in hell. Dan's fellow soldiers, after hearing the news, refused to board the plane back home, quoting one, "We don't leave anybody behind." Good for them.
The guy that's on the no-fly list is James.
Oh,
Dean Brown. Hey!
Yeah.
The feist, get a good education. The feist, bomb Iran. Yeah, I'm on a no-fly zone list thing.
You know what can board a plane, though? Communicable diseases. That's our story when we come back.
There he goes. He loves to do that more than anything at all. He is now, he likes to terrorize
us. No, I don't want to alarm him.
Yeah, of course.
No, you thought you should know.
Yes, you do.
You can board any airplane in the United States as long as you don't let wild birds fly on it.
That's right.
All right, so Buzz, mm-hmm. Buzz and sickness and
flying diseases.
Yeah, that's right. Cracks in the Earth Service. We
that's
come
right
back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, a lot of shows come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Totally. Everybody is talking about the show.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, they see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show. When they lay it out, they play it out. Don and Mike.
This is why we took the commercial break early in the show today. So now we could have more buzz for you.
There was a time.
Well, the full segment here is Guy Birdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. We were talking about communicable diseases being spread by airplanes.
No, you were fear-mongering is what you were doing.
No, I don't want to do that. Okay. I never want to frighten people.
No, you said communicable diseases, and you said that as soon as you get on an airplane that your D is going to fall off.
That's right. I didn't say that. Although,
no, sounded like it.
You know, you might want to keep an eye out.
This is Rip Taylor. I will be at the Metroliner tomorrow at 11 a.m. in Washington, D.C.
Hi, Rip.
Well, you've heard air travel mentioned as a way of spreading the much ballyhooed bird flu. We're getting a good test of what that would be right now as the Midwest does battle with an outbreak of the mumps. Two infected passengers.
Hey, that does affect down there, doesn't it? Don't the mumps affect your...
I don't know.
Your NADS?
I didn't...
No, but it can... No, mumps can get you sterile.
I'm very concerned about someone here at the station.
Yeah, who?
Lovely Julie.
I think
she has a case of the lumps.
That's something different. Where's Paul now?
Yeah, that's right.
We need him now.
There he is. Hi, Julie, if you're listening.
A couple of infected passengers may have helped spread Iowa's mumps epidemic to six states. Now, the Center for Disease Control is studying this. It is America's first mumps epidemic in 20 years. There have already been over 600 cases in Iowa, and now 43 in Nebraska, 33 in Kansas, 4 each in Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Missouri.
Mumps are bad like if you're a grown-up, right?
Very. All of those childhood sort of diseases are very hard on adults.
Can you... He said it.
Hard on.
Can you only get them once?
I think so.
I should have done more months
research.
Yeah, well,
you know why? Because you don't care about telling people how to deal with it. You want to just scare them.
I think it's chicken pox you get once, and then you're done with forever.
I think mumps maybe, too.
I had mumps, like, in fourth grade, and your mouth always feels like you just ate lemons.
I don't know whether I've had mumps or not.
And if the CDC knows its incubation tables, the spreading is just beginning. Oh, and now that I've frightened everyone, I'll move on.
Incubation. Your job is done.
Incubation.
That's right.
What's the incubation on that?
Well, you could just take your chances on a ride at Disney World that's so intense it comes with throw-up bags.
Now, you know what? This is the same ride, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't it? Last year's same ride?
Yeah, early this year, actually.
Oh, well,
a few months ago.
This year?
Includes...
there are so many mishaps at Disney properties. It's hard to keep track of.
Very, very difficult.
Well, they're not one or two days without an accident, so... this particular ride includes the force of gravity doubled. A ride on Mission Space led to death for a four-year-old boy earlier this year. Doctors say the stress must have stopped his heart. Now, a 49-year-old woman has died a day after riding Mission Space. The cause of death is so far undetermined. Disney says an overnight inspection of the ride shows it's running just as it's supposed to.
Smith. Smith, where are you?
Smith here, come in.
Smith, we've lost another one, this time an older lady, 49. What are we going to do?
Mr. Eisner?
Yes, Smith.
The body has already been dispatched, has already been chopped up, and is already in little pieces of Mickey's Happy Hamburgers.
Thank you. There'll be a little something extra in your envelope, Smith.
Sir?
Yes.
I need you.
Come up to the office, Smith.
I want you.
We can do that special thing we do. I'll be wearing the Pluto costume.
Will you cut the hole in the Mickey ears?
Absolutely, Smith. Will you make sure that you wear your Peter Pan outfit?
Anything for you, Mr. Eisner.
Thank you, Smith. I no longer work here.
But people are still dying on the property going on our unsafe ride, sir.
Yes, and I will always be Eisner forever when somebody dies at Disney.
Sir, I did have a serious question that I would like to ask you.
Yes.
The family of the dead woman.
Yes.
I'm wondering... Do we still do it the Eisner way? Do I offer her factory seconds from the Disney store?
Factory seconds and one ticket to be split for the whole family. Each person can come in one day. It's a four-day pass.
Sir?
Yes, Smith?
What was your rank when you were in the military?
The Israeli Army? I was General Eisner.
General Eisner.
And missiles aren't free. Thank you very much. Give my regards to General Hoffman, Smith.
Thank you. I love you, sir.
And Major Goodman.
Smith and Eisner.
And Private Shrinsky. And don't forget Lieutenant Limewan.
Yes, Lieutenant Limewan. He's out in the back cleaning.
What a screw-up he is.
He is. He's a total screw-up. He's like Goma Pyle.
The good thing about him, though, sir.
Yes, Smith.
When he cleans the latrine.
Yes.
He always comes back with change.
Thank you very much. Listen, Smith, when you come to my office.
Yes, Mr. Eisner.
Make sure you bring the Littlest Mermaid massage oil.
I miss you, sir.
Miss you, Smith. And I no longer work here.
I went outside today to the ride. The smell of death was in the air.
I know, Smith.
I missed you, sir. I was aroused with the smell of death at Disney World.
Well, Smith, I'm still waiting for you. Please, come as quickly as you can to my office.
I already have, sir.
Oh, dear.
During the skull.
You've blown it again, Smith.
I want to, sir.
Have I mentioned that General Eisner no longer works for Disney?
Does it really matter at this point?
Mate, you might want to go over to see Commander Ovitz. Thank you, Smith. Always a pleasure.
He's no Eisner, sir.
I tell you, someone got mumps over on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
We'll have them turn into meatloaf immediately, sir.
Thank you, Smith. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, I'm glad Smith still consults. Time was, you had to actually touch a person to be convicted of sexual assault, but they've closed that loophole in Connecticut. Three male college students were convicted of indecency and disorderly conduct, misdemeanor charges, after they gave a co-ed what's known as a facial while she was sleeping. Many people are outraged, saying that violating the pride, self-worth, and safety of a woman ought to be a felony, not a misdemeanor. So Connecticut lawmakers have now outlawed the unwanted facial. Quoting one lawmaker, kids do crazy things.
You're killing me.
You are killing me. quoting one lawmaker.
You're running the same movie I am, aren't you?
Now, you'd be a big fag if you did it with your friends.
Right. Yeah, they were all standing there together.
But if you went like one after the other?
I don't know. Maybe they did that. Jesus.
Let's move on. She's just laying there.
Wow. Quoting one lawmaker.
She has them looking like a Cinnabon.
Kids do crazy things.
Oh, dear.
Lawmaker says kids do crazy things. That's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday we talked about MySpace and the efforts to stop the predators. Mm-hmm. Today, a female grade school teacher in Tennessee is in trouble for using MySpace to contact a boy the court had told her to stay away from.
This is a dumb lady.
The court had also told her to stay off the internet. But comely blonde 28-year-old Pamela Rogers just had to let the boy know that nothing had changed.
What kind of blonde is she?
A comely blonde, Don.
That's a figure of speech.
It means attractive.
Did you see a picture of this babe?
Fetching.
She is hot.
Not bad at all.
She is very, very good looking.
She also let him know on her MySpace site that the boy is still her hero. To underscore the message, her MySpace photo was her posing provocatively in a bikini. She told the boy she would wait until he reached the age of consent.
But boy.
3 years from now.
Wow.
Now, just 2 months out of jail, she's probably headed back.
I had a question about the Britney Spears. I was reading today that they went out there and that there was no fractured skull. That there wasn't. Did you hear anything about that today?
A lot of this was based on tabloid reports. One of the reports quoted a hospital spokesperson as saying the baby had a fractured skull and a blood clot.
Is there any definitive word either way on it?
I haven't heard anything since. DCFS in California went to the home to make sure that the baby was okay and that there was no pattern of abuse, no signs of abuse.
Not that it matters.
They found none, so they left.
Bob Goen said that all the rumors were unsubstantiated last night.
Mm-hmm.
Mary is not here. Let's go to our Times Square studio for the hot piece of ass. Is going to tell you what's wrong with Bob Barker.
I did see it last night on Entertainment Tonight.
The fact that I think it's gone away as quickly as it came up is the fact that I don't think the baby had a fractured skull.
It was a throwaway. It was like they were just doing the headlines, as if there are headlines in showbiz.
Right.
And one of them was, that guy, hey, I'm Bob Goen, everybody.
A lot of people raise more than three kids, and the Department of Social Services never comes to their house once.
That's true.
They've had their second visit, the Federlines.
Britney's baby really didn't have a fractured skull.
Right, right. That's what they're saying.
We do know that Children and Family Services and Sheriff's deputies did show up at their house.
When on Entertainment Tonight, they did follow up that little Britney Spears thing by saying, they had a clip from Kevin Federline. And I thought, okay, now he's going to be saying something about the baby.
Right.
Now they said, we asked Kevin Federline, we called up with him at some premiere and asked him about his kids getting into showbiz. And I'll paraphrase for you. Yeah, I'm for it. Once they're old enough to really understand what it's all about, I'm for it. And then he walked out. It looked like he could be on the HBO show Entourage.
He is such an idiot.
Really, he could be Turtle or whoever the...
He's such an idiot.
He's not as fat as Turtle.
I'm for it. Like, he's really in showbiz.
Right.
See, if he was really in showbiz, he'd probably say, no, not at all. Isn't that what the real stars all say?
Yeah.
No, I really don't think it's a good idea.
Right.
As if. Yes, you actually can get a 20-ounce soda bottle in there and... We'll explain when we return.
He likes that tease.
In where?
I think you know. You got a couple of choices, but I'll narrow it down for you.
20-ounce soda? Can?
20-ounce soda. No, it's a bottle.
A bottle.
Plastic bottle.
Oh, a bottle.
That's nice.
Bottles narrow at the top.
Nice shape.
That's nice on Easter weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Thank you.
Christ is King.
Christ is King time. 44 after the hour.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt.
It's all been
so incredibly fascinating
and
entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Reminder, tomorrow.
He's mentally retarded.
Free Money Bunny. Tom will be wearing a bunny suit.
With his face, right? We'll be able to see his wonderful
just
face.
Just like Ralphie in a Christmas show.
At beige.
At beige.
It'll be about 85 tomorrow again, right?
Perfect. Yeah, it'll be nice Easter. Nice Easter bunny weather. Tom's going to end up like the rabbit in Basic Instinct. Yeah, that's
Fatal Attraction.
Thank you, Mike.
With an ensemble show, someone is going to be the spark plug. The Don and Mike program.
Very good chance we'll have roasted Tom tomorrow.
Roast rabbit. Very interesting.
Anyway, you come down tomorrow, kiss Tom, Give him a kiss on the forehead.
Well, good luck.
And he'll give you an Easter egg that has...
something in it.
$1 in it.
Something else in it, too. I don't know. Who knows what it is.
A little bit of Tom.
Little Tom.
Surprises.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. If you're going to siphon gasoline, for gosh sakes, so don't do it in the dark. And please, don't spill any on your pants. And if you do spill gas on your pants, don't use your cigarette lighter to see where the stain is. Ask the 17-year-old guy in Gillette, Wyoming, who was also dumb enough to steal the gas from a car owned by a firefighter.
Don't we get one of these like every 6 months?
All the time.
It happened, of course, at a gas station called Common Sense. In Lincoln, Nebraska, however, we know of a guy who could have put out that pants fire. A 38-year-old man showed up at the hospital saying he had been assaulted. He said he had been punched in the head from behind and that when he fell, his attacker kicked him. He says he passed out and awoke. Find his pants around his ankles.
Bacardi Limon.
Tony Diggs.
Hey.
He had come to the hospital to have the 20-ounce soda bottle removed from his lower intestine.
Oh, we're sorry.
Good night. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Payoff. Hey,
dirt.
Hello.
Hold on.
Wow.
Bacardi Limon.
Tony Diggs.
All right, that's it. We got to go. We will see you tomorrow, everybody. Hey, little turtles. Tomorrow is our celebration of Christ, his King, Tom Gannon, and the free money bunny.
You're a holy man, Don.
So are you, my God damn it. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you,
sir. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
All right, you.
I've got to go clean out the latrine.
Yeah, there's a soda bottle in there.
Can we meet again? Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.